Hi, everybody. It's Beth. How are you? I'm here with Marita and Tara and Rama, and we welcome you today. We have a lot of things to talk about. I want to encourage everybody today to call in and ask questions. I'd like to have a lot of questions today. I'm getting them in my email box, and I'd like to talk about them on the call. I'm not feeling like myself today, and rather than doing a lot of presenting, I'd like to do a lot of answering questions. So I think that would be a good focus today. So please do call. The number is 415-762-1161. And what I'm going to do now is turn it over to Tara and Rama for some hard news, please.
Hey. I was on mute. I got it to work today.
Welcome.
Greetings.
Greetings.
What I could say about the news out there is very wild. all the stories going on have to do with the reality sandwich they're wanting us to buy. And that reality sandwich don't exist, so to speak. It's in the matrix, not in reality, if you will. And Jack Rice this morning was just laying it out in Lavender about the Black Ops and XE Blackwater, talking about their just running roughshod over all of the constitutional laws and provisions where our Supreme Court, as of Thursday, decided corporations are people. So is Walmart a person?
Well, we've been doing that for decades.
Right. This is why Tom Hartman rants about this at least once a week. Roll back the Reagan tax cuts to 1979 and hang these people for economic high treason.
Hurry up.
Remember, I talked with Tom the Ring-Tailed Cat and Mr. X this morning, and they were just saying, the Black Ops put out another video of, you know, Mr. Osama, no relation to Mr. Obama. And this is all fake. And all of it, they are out of time, out of money. They're not out of love, but they believe they're out of love. And that's why we got to send them even more, because they're caught in their illusions.
Love is painful to them.
Yes.
They don't want love.
In the last hour or two, I got to talk to Montel Williams, and I don't know if he had a repeat or what.
It looks to me like Rama got dropped. Don, can you call him back, please? Thank you.
Hello?
Hi, we got you back. Sorry. You were talking about Montel. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wondered why the chat window didn't open and
You suddenly weren't there, but we moved quickly and got you back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah,
go ahead,
I was talking about Montel Williams and what was being said. He was talking with Paul Rykoff, the head of the IAVA. These are IAVAW, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Against the War. And they were talking about something like 500 soldiers a month killing themselves. And this is not being discussed on any level.
Oh.
And there's like, I don't know, how many, 5-6 million people in Iraq that are dead, over 1 or 2 million U.S. soldiers dead, and they don't talk about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty scary, but Montel Williams was bringing this up with Paul Rykoff, and I called up and I got him, and he was just telling me there is all kinds of wild stuff going on out there having to deal with covering up the biggest issue that has not been discussed. And that has to do with the economic high treason that is going on at the highest levels. And I asked him about China and Chris Story's story along with the other issues, and he just said Chris Story is not credible and I'm not going to go there. That's what he said. And he said also, it might be wise if you stop hanging around folks that put their news out from the city, because you know it is slanted and it is coming from a place in which they want to save their skin first. The rest of us, well, we might as well be like the folks in Haiti, according to them. And, you know,
what does that mean, Rami?
What that means is that they don't give a flying you-know-what about us. And Chris
What does it mean when he says the people from the city?
Oh, the city is located in the Tower of London, which is a very small area.
Like maybe
4 square miles.
Within the city of London.
And that includes Chris Story.
Well, yes. What goes on in the city of London, why it's there, is it's the place where the jurisdiction of the relationship between the Black Pope and Elizabeth II lives in terms of world dominance and control. Remembering
Tara,
yeah.
One more time for all the new ones out there, because I get these emails every day. Tell me exactly who the Black Pope is.
The Black Pope is dead. Ding dong. That
wicked witch
is dead. yet he was the one who ordered 9/11, and every Black Pope since the church started had a mission that is 13,000 years old. And we read about this position actually when we read about the Madonna Lily yesterday, where what the mission of the church was to completely obliterate the Madonna Lily in terms of what those teachings are, and to obliterate in front of the people's awareness what it means to get to the end of time.
Right.
That was the biggest deal. And so what they had to do is they had to use some muscle and some dogma and some catechism lessons and try to mold the creative mind and heart into something it's not.
Right.
And it doesn't work. And it never was going to work. Yet, what is a person supposed to do when they've already sold their soul? That's all they have. So the Tower of London is the place where the Black Pope, who on paper is written into an instrument. And there's a big difference between an instrument and a document. Mm-hmm. A document is a witnessing to the truth by evidence.
Mm-hmm.
By evidence that's in the earth's archives, in the sense of stone carvings or ice carbon dating, because you can see them on the earth's grid. You can see them on the layers below the surface of the land. There's just like in the rings of a tree.
You mean the sedimentary layers?
Yes, the sedimentary layers. There's
of the
earth. You can tell when the ice age began, and you can look at the weather patterns before and after and what caused it. All that stuff, that's called documentary evidence. An instrument is a man-made, made-up propaganda instrument. It doesn't have anything to do with truth.
Phantom economy, like the paper they're pushing.
Well, the phantom economy is just the paper part. The instrument is the lie. It's the lie. And so that instrument is called the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome is where it says in the preamble that the relationship of the preamble in the Club of Rome, which is aligned with New World Order and its takeover in every country on Earth. And it's also aligned with something called the Omega Agency. And that is the agency where that preamble states that the purpose is to reduce the human population to under 2%, and by the means deciphered in the rest of that instrument.
And Tara. Yeah. Okay. I'm just interjecting because I want to make sure there's clarification. And I want to interject a question, and it's not my question, but I've had it 5 times in my email in the last 2 days. This is the question. I understand that these are all the things that we're doing away with now, and I understand that the press is not talking about it. And when we get done with this point, I want you to go back, Rama, to the Montel conversation. But this is the question. Please explain why President Obama, for the past year, there's no evidence that he's been, you know, quote-unquote, doing anything. Very nice, very educated people keep asking me this question.
I'll say that
they talked about it yesterday on the Bill Moyers Journal when we played that section on the Bill Moyers Journal.
Yeah.
And they talked about there are certain points that Barack Obama did do. For instance, I forgot her name, but the lady from Harvard that was on there, she basically said that Barack Obama did do what he said he was going to do. I didn't like some of the things that he did with the topics that he said he was going to cover. For instance, Afghanistan, I didn't like what he did, yet he did it. In other words, there isn't anything that, and she also said that I like that he came forward and was working towards the process of ending Guantanamo Bay, yet it hasn't been ended. Yet I like the fact that he is still moving in that direction. He has not accomplished it within the year, yet he's not stopping it. And what they're basically saying is that you still must know that everybody still loves Barack Obama in general. Yet there are disappointments, there are criticisms, yet the energetics now are set and this new material. For instance, it was even covered on the Moorish call this morning. And I do want to give that number out, if I may, right while I still have the phone line here. I forgot yesterday. Yet they are paralleling what we are doing so closely, and they are so knowledgeable. This will be a delight, and I just want to give this phone number out again, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
It is 712-432-0075, and the PIN code is 983-190-pound. Thank you. And, okay, so what am I saying? I'm saying that I align myself with what was said on the Bill Moyers Journal yesterday, that we have to do more stuff ourselves to move the energy that Barack Obama has already set up for us to feed into. And the last thing he said is, if you want to pick a fight like this one, and he was talking about the banksters, if you want to pick this kind of an economic treasonous fight, and they were saying, why did not he come forward with 9/11? Because that has to do with war crimes. It has to do with the economic treason aspect of this. And remember, we were always told it is not Barack Obama's job to do that. It is Lady Master Nada's job and the world court job. Well, it is his job in the sense that a local government is supposed to take care of their criminals. And when they don't, then the world court sets in. Yet this type of criminal cabal is not singular in terms of this nation alone. It's a world takeover, which means that there must be a world court address, which means that the other countries in the world must do their part, too, by going to the ICC when they're signed up with the ICC, which, you know, most of the countries in the world are. I think there's only maybe 12 countries. Is that right, Rama?
That's right.
Only 12 countries in the world, which I was shocked to hear, even 12 countries, which means that of the G20, there's 12 of them that are not signed up have not
ratified the Rome Statute.
Exactly. And all I'm saying is that now what's happening is that Barack Obama said, okay, we're going to fight. I'm going to pick this fight with you, and I'm going to fight it. And so now we're coming into everything coming into fruition. Even though it appears that it did not happen within the time frame that he said, remember, there's another part to the equation, and that is the people. He said, I am the leader. I will lead you. You are the ones that need to move me to the center in terms of what you want me to lead you by. And that's what Naomi Klein was reiterating at the end of her talk that we heard 2 weeks ago on Friday, where she said at the very end of her call, and remember she wrote Shock Doctrine, which is about what again?
About the situation in Iraq, where they walked in, basically they invaded and occupied Iraq. And to this,
well, no, that's not what it's about. There are three things that the Nazis usually do. And one of the things they do is invading a country and creating a war. Yet they get they have to get some kind of a Reichstag fire, like the example.
They program the people.
They program them by creating a disaster. What did they create? This is about disaster capitalism. And what did they create? They created a disaster in New York City by taking down those towers. And that was their Reichstag fire. Then what else did they do on top of that? They invaded a country. And they used those two things together. And then they used fear tactics on the people to keep everybody completely strapped. And that was what the Omega Agency was purposefully created for in 1892, along with the Bankers Manifesto Act. Those two things. What was the preamble in the O agency? To reduce the human population to under 2% in 100 years. They were going to do it in 100 years. That meant that 1992, we should have had Nasara announced. And we're talking about in the banking sector, which is October 1st, that of 1991. Which was the 1992 day when we actually were supposed to get Nasara announced. We didn't call it that at that time. But the shift to a new economic process was scheduled first and foremost on October 1st of 1991, the first day of the fiscal year, the banking year of 1992. Instead, what occurred on that day was that Bill Clinton and Bush Sr. signed on to a new monarchy forming. And that was a monarchy in the West, located in Washington's District of Criminals, taking precedence over the Queen of England's position as the head monarch. With the Rothschild, this was an internal war. This was a war between Rothschild, Queen Elizabeth II, and Rocky and Bullwinkle Show, the Bushes and the Rockefellers, remembering that Bill Clinton is a Rockefeller, and his wife is not a Rockefeller at all. She is a Rothschild, so they're putting themselves together right there. Was the internal war within their arranged marriage. And everybody is you've got to realize that all of this was in their mind's eye, a necessary cover-up of propaganda to make it look like things are okay while they're doing these other things. And I hope this helps. I hope that this is going to answer that question for good. Because
it does. It helped very much. And I just want to say the other emails I'm getting recently are from people asking me questions about their seeing on what they think or used to think were reputable websites. They're starting to talk out against Nassara. They're making hints that Nassara is not true and that it's never going to come. And so I'm getting a lot of questions about that, too.
Okay, that's a very good question. Can I address that to you?
Of course, you're the expert.
Okay, let me just say this, that we brought up the question, Rama even talked to Tom the Ringtail Cat and Mr. X about this question this morning, as late as this morning. And it was about David Wilcock. How come David Wilcock doesn't believe in Nassara? And how come David Wilcock is going out against it right now?
Right.
Okay, Rama, answer the question.
I was told by Tom the Ring-Tailed Cat and Mr. X that these folks work within the framework of the whistleblowers and the people who are outing themselves within Faction 2, who have been deep throats and shadows in, you might say, the bowels of the story for so long, like that 80, 90-year-old man that came out on Disclosure Project and started crying. And he was just saying, you don't know what it's like for me to get up here in front of all you people at the National Press Club and start talking about galactics that I witnessed came here in peaceful
and were murdered.
And were murdered.
By our government.
In cold blood.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like what's going on the streets of Afghanistan.
No, wait a minute. You're not answering the question all
right.
Well,
let me finish. What I want to say is that all of these folks, they...
David Wilcock in particular, give an example.
He is still young, and he is integrating raw. Let me finish this, because Mother has said to me that her father, Ra, is a very strict teacher, and it takes a long time to integrate the teachings of Ra. Mm-hmm. And this one has not yet fully integrated the understanding of who Ra is.
Not only that, he got himself into big trouble, because he was working with the CIA at the Montauk Project, which means he knows too much.
That's
he knows
right.
about the Philadelphia experiment. He knows about the Phoenix experiments. Those are all dealing with galactic issues of slavery. There are people that are in slavery living on Mars, and they were taken from Earth 10,000 years ago in the fifth dimension, and they're still in the fifth dimension as slaves on Mars. Those people get free at the same time that we do when the Nassara is announced, and he knows too much about that, so he's been compromised. He's had many, many conversations with Raylan Allen, who is Faction 2, and all of Faction 2 was told, not told until 2008, late September, that they were told by Faction 1, whether they know it or not, they were told by Faction 1, because Faction 1 has always controlled Faction 2, and the people were going along with expecting money and getting updates through the Faction 2 lines all over the country, yet the Faction 2 lines were being fed from Faction 1. And that was in, who was in charge of that? Hillary, everybody. Hillary. And Hillary, who does Hillary work directly with? She's a direct partner with Bush Sr. And who did Bush Sr. hire to go into the light community and take light workers out if they don't behave? Ted Gunderson. Ted Gunderson is a murderer. He killed, he ordered, he had a little posse with the help of Hillary take out Coretta Scott King and then cut up her body parts and sell them to neocons who needed them to live on and do their neocon job. This is the kind of enmeshment that is going on. So when we listen to people, we send them love. David Wilcox is in trouble. He needs
love. So now that he's compromised, can he come back?
Of course.
That is up to him and his soul matrix. And I will say that also involves, that's between him and the King of Swords and Faction 3. And in that sense, I'm not going to go to that level. I'm going to leave it up to the King and Saint Germain.
Yeah, it's not about that even. It's at a soul level. This is his challenge right now. He created his own destiny in this life. And in this life, there is something positive. And that is that he has developed spiritually since Edgar Cayce. At the time of Edgar Cayce completely went into blackout. In other words, he laid down on the couch and he was gone.
Nobody.
He never remembered anything that was said. Only way that these things got transcribed and then taped and people knew what they were being said, but he did not know anything. As a matter of fact, in that lifetime, he did not listen to Ra.
No.
At the end of his life, Mr. Ra told him, "You, mister, stop doing the healings. You need to work on yourself." And he did not listen, and he continued to chain smoke, and he left his body because he caused his own death by not listening. So he came in this lifetime, and you know what happens in the next sequence if you didn't do something as powerful as working with the energies of Ra to work with your own personal healing. That is the biggest lesson of all. Because
that, when we went into the temple of Ra, Ra stood beside me, and I went to enter into that circle of energy, and he said no. And no teacher has ever said no to me before that way. And I looked at him, and I stood there silently, and I waited a few minutes, but I didn't change my thinking. And I said, okay, we're ready, and he said no. And I looked away, and I thought about it for a minute. And the third time he said no, I understood. We had to enter with love and with a pure heart. And when I shifted to that thought, then we were allowed to enter.
Yeah. And
remember that David Wilcock is 38 years old. And there are things that are yet to be revealed from that age. Even as precocious as we have our children, our indigo children. And I remember Sharon Reynolds talking about this from the Commonwealth a couple years ago about her son, and that her son is an indigo and he does channel. Yet there was a point in time, and this is the same subject, and that is that her son channeled that Barack Obama was going to be killed. And that was in 2008, in January. And I said to Sharon, I said, no. And I, just like you got no from Ra.
Right.
And the no about it is this, that there is a higher level of channeling that young child, and he's a good 12 or so years younger than David Wilcock even at this time, maybe a little less, I'm not sure. Yet there are certain times in the process where different energies are graduated to. It does not make what he's saying wrong. What we were told, and we asked exactly when that came up back in 2008, we asked the King of Swords, we asked Mother. And she said there is a veil still there and the shields are up. And no one gets to get that access to that information right now. They have to get it on their own. They can't just be an automatic channel from this. They have to get it deeper. And they have to get it at a deeper level of knowing this. And that child is not on a non-path. It's just not time for that channel to be ready for that.
And I have to just speak up here because this is what I was told. Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan of Project Camelot, all these folks, they work with David Wilcox. They work with Dr. Richard Hoagland. They work with, you know, Mr. Green. I'll just say what the King has explained to me is a lot of these folks, Project Camelot, and what this is all connected to, all of these folks are coming out of agencies that were black ops, and they are learning how to wake up, rub the sleep from their eyes and the programming, and it would be very wise to send these beings even more love than we have ever anticipated, because they are coming out of the programming, the spell of the MK Ultra and whatever else they may have had to go through in the sense of being black ops whistleblowers working for NASA, working for Johnson Space Administration, assassins up to the highest levels like Kathy O'Brien and other stuff. And what I was told by Tom and Mr. X this morning is that, you know, these folks, that they are doing a great service for the planet. Yet, when it comes to the realm in which where we are going with the Ascended Masters, the Galactic Brotherhoods, Sisterhoods, Maitreya, they don't go there. It just doesn't go. And it's at the point where you got to send them love and we move on into higher realms. And they will get there.
And when you don't have that ability to absorb it yourself, that's the time to embrace one of the virtues called humility. Not false humility. True humility is a very, very rare thing, even to this day. A lot of us have false humility. Yes, Beth?
Okay, so what I want to say is, if we can remember back to the David Wilcock special, where, and Richard Hoagland was there, everybody was so disappointed by what they heard. And what I noticed was they were only hearing the narration about the dark stuff. But if you only listen to the pure science that Dr. Hoagland was bringing forward, then it was right on 100% truth. And I had taken the outline of what they had put out and took it to Metatron and said, can you explain this to us? And he channeled about 10 pages of science about torsion field physics. And when the special came on, what Hoagland was presenting was exactly what Metatron said. And these ones are doing good work. But as they're emerging and we're sending them love, see, they're waking up a segment of society we don't work with. And now, thank you. Yes, that's what the ones at the Galactic Roundtable can hold on to in their hearts, that they're waking up the ones, they're getting the science, they're getting the torsion field physics, it's coming into their consciousness so that later, when they have higher understanding, they'll be able to integrate all of it. But it has to be packaged right now, unfortunately, in this kind of weird narration of doomsday. But please, as members of Galactic Roundtable, because you have a higher understanding, split your mind and hear with both sides of your head. And know that, you know, all of that information is truth and it's good. But we're just, this is the same thing with President Obama. We're working through clearing out all that stuff so that we can get to the other side.
And moving to the center is the progress line.
Right.
If you're going to continue to work with time, which we still do, we still work with time. Timelines disappear as they do.
Dr. Hoagland said on that special that, you know, about the tetrahedrons at 19.5 degrees, and it was a miracle that that information got out on TV to begin with. I thought I was thrilled.
Right.
It's true.
Okay, now I just wanted to say one more thing about that, because 19.5, 19 and 5 is 24. That's the 24 elders, and that is the Council of 12 with the twin rays. And let's take it to the highest level. And I still remember when Mark and yourself, Beth, brought that particular piece of information to all of us as a while ago, months ago, yet that was very significant, that twin flames, you know, up until recently, it's been extremely rare for twin flames to show up together. And the reason is that resistance is a nature-oriented thing until you accept, until you get into love in a way of self-acceptance of the truth about who you are. You go into reactions rather than responses. And when we go into reactions, they are equally and oppositely going to have an effect on our lives where we get an experience that teaches us something about resisting love. And that's where that statement, resistance is futile, you will be assimilated by the Borg. A programming about the Borg is they program a whole society into the knowledge of we, where the precepts of the we are dogma rather than heart-based thinking.
We will enhance you and aid in your ability to assimilate others. I remember the Borg Queen telling me.
Okay, good. I'm just saying this is like the Black Pope running around in your brains.
And I wanted to get back to Montel before.
Yes, dude. Yes.
Yes.
This was what I heard. Montel told me we are at a very critical time right now that has to do with the total exposure of all of this, and he brought it up to me off the air. He said this is about the Kemet and Egypt and the people of the Black Land. And what is the conversation? People don't like the black guy in the White House because it is an unfamiliar issue. And it has not been familiar since John Hansen. And people had better understand that the universe chose Obama for this mission. And it's at that place that the universe is orchestrating this story. It's bigger. Montel explained this. He said, I have witnessed so many different things since, you know, he was in the military, I think 22 to maybe 24 years. They gave him MS, and he has since, you know.
Well, he helped it along. I think he did something like a lot of pop and stuff. That's.
There's
certain
the
things that,
but Tara, remember, those guys who were serving in the desert were only shipped pop. They were shipped truckloads and truckloads and truckloads of diet pop on purpose, and they were all given those injections, and then that pop sat around in the desert heat, and it changed inside the aluminum cans, and the whole thing kind of makes me sick.
Yes, right. It does. And that's the truth. That's the truth.
And what Montel Williams was talking about was the medical marijuana that he uses to help the MS, and it's totally changed his life. He's gone on his own show talking about this, Montel, across America, as well as Oprah, and he has gone to highest levels in this country speaking with the quote-unquote drug czar. Why do we need a czar? And he brought this up today, that, you know, the word czar implicates and creates ideas of control and overlording. And he said the whole conversation has to change. Mm-hmm. And what is being said by these guys, Paul Rykoff on him, are the military suicides that are going on in Iraq and Afghanistan that are not being discussed at the highest levels. And some of it comes back and they talk about fracking and friendly fire. And Pat Tillman's name is brought up. And all of this has to do with the fake story called 9/11. Let's bring it full circle. This is what he said this morning. And until that discussion is brought full circle, you know, he said, I'm handing it to you, Mr. Obama. Get on with it. You know,
and he is now. He said, now you want to pick a fight, I'm going to fight this fight.
That's right. And
this is it.
I know Big Will's been on that call for a long time waiting.
Number one, line one, are you still there, Big Will?
Tara and Rama and Bev, first of all, I want to thank you for acknowledging me. I sure appreciate that. I want to say hello to everybody there. And then listening audience, we really appreciate you guys listening in to us. I want to say this to Rama, and this question goes to Rama only. Rama, my question is this. Magic Johnson, as you well know, he helped and he campaigned for Hillary Clinton. Is Magic Johnson, is he involved in any type of cover-up or murder cover-up? I pass the talking stick.
That's an interesting question, Big Will, because it brings up other, you know, stories about African Americans who...
Wait a minute, why would you even think he has anything to do with murder?
It has to do with these racial profilings that are going on. And the dark side gave Magic Johnson AIDS and he beat it. And, yeah, he was a Hillary supporter, and it has to do with the when you're a sports celebrity, almost God, they lay out contracts in front of you. And
you got to do black ops.
And, yeah, and a lot of folks, they do this with a lot of African-American Moorish people that come from the inner cities and places that nobody would even think twice about, you know, does this guy go to the electric chair or life in prison rather than being celebrity status. And I'm talking about black folks who make it, and then things get...
Make it financially.
And then they get a little crazy because they've got all this money and the millions of dollars with the black football players and the places in which where... This conversation is going. What I'm saying is that many of these folks, like Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Michael Jackson, when you're presented with contracts from the corporations for Nike or for Coke or for a jersey supporting, you know, let's say the Green Bay Packers, there's corporations that control this behind the scenes that are billions, trillions, and they play with this, with Wall Street. And
they play with your sexuality, too.
And if you don't do what, you know, let's say the master tells you to do, you end up in a funny position. Let's say with HIV, or let's say there's a bus with your name on it, like Dr. John Mack, the psychiatrist who they killed for talking about the Galactics.
Well, what about Fanta Johnson specifically?
I will just say that
no.
Magic Johnson may have been compromised by Hillary. And that is what I have to say on the matter, Big Will.
In other words, you don't know.
I have not asked, but I will. But at this moment, I'll say if he was connected with supporting Hillary in the last election, he got compromised. It's black and white at that level. And if you got $10 million in the...
Although someone like, Mark Green? Those people were compromised. The only way they got on Air America was to sit down and say, okay, let's make a deal, Hillary.
Let's negotiate. Anybody, this is the reality. When you have $10 million in the bank and above, you get approached by the Democratic Party, you get approached by the Republican Party. And let's just say a friendly message is given to you to... cough a little our way, whichever party it may be.
Or, follow the money.
Or a senator, or a congressman, or a lobbyist may find your name and email address. And it goes to that level of so deep where the criminals infiltrate your very lives. And this is why I have to say, pray for Magic Johnson.
Now there are ways, that's why we gave you that Moorish call, because there are ways to avoid being compromised, and there are ways to not pay taxes. There are ways to become responsible for learning how to do that. And that is what they've been talking about on the Moorish call even this morning, that this is not for somebody to call up some financial person who wants a bunch of money to do it for someone. This is where we've got to go to the library and we've got to look for true library information and learn how to do these things, each one of us, on our own, because the lesson plan here is that in the West, they have just allowed everybody to believe that somebody else was more of a professional, more of a scholar, and just like in the medical field, there's a specialist for the spleen and the liver and the heart, and they don't know anything about holistic medicine. Same thing in terms of how you want to govern oneself. Education.
Well, an example of that is when I was in the hospital, and I had a surgical patient who just had surgery, and their heart would start going bad. I would say to the surgeon, you better get a cardiologist in here. And he would say to me, I don't know what you're talking about. And I would show him the numbers, and he didn't know what I was talking about. And these very, very smart people don't know anything outside of the realm of what they're focusing on. And that happens to light workers. And we all need to keep integrating the holistic view of everything around us, including the news and including all the ascension materials.
Right.
It is like learning how to do double duty, double time. Oh, my God.
It's not easy, but I'm proud of everyone who takes the path.
Yes, and I hope that helps Big Will. Montel had, this was months ago, and even Laura Flanders on Grit TV, they talk about this.
Yes, thank you.
And have, go ahead, I didn't quite hear you.
Big Will?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I just was going to say, Montel and Laura Flanders on Grit TV, they've had different celebrities on, and this is the alternative news that doesn't get told. Even Tom Hartman has done this, and I think Randy Rhodes. Oprah talks about this every now and then. Celebrities, football players, basketball players, tennis people different kinds of sports, even people who are in the business profession of...
Remember that one time when the small aircraft actually crashed right into a New York City office way up in a high-rise? That was a sports guy that was doing that helicopter that they killed, and they ordered him to do a black op. That's a very good example of how they use sports.
Yeah, I mean, people thought it was another 9/11 where he was flying into the building. And sometimes these folks, they get programmed, they go out, they get drunk, they get stoned, they do stuff that where they're out of their heads, and it's got to do with the deals that are made with the corporations, and are you going to serve one master or two masters? And I pass the talking stick.
So, Rama, you know, when you mentioned Nike, you made me think of Tiger Woods, because right away we heard that everyone dropped him except for Nike.
Right, and I mean...
And what's her name? Linda somebody. In the morning show, she's the lady that is in charge of that organization, isn't she? And it's slave
Linda.
Labor. They use slave labor.
Sweatshop labor.
That's right.
Yeah, Kathy Lee Gifford.
That's right.
And Kathy Lee Gifford is married to a football player, Mr.
That's
Gifford.
Right.
Think
right.
about it. This goes to the levels where this is why the corporations have to be removed. And this is why it's at the place that the Supreme Court, they are at the level where Lady Master Nada and just say she's going to take him over her knee, and I'll leave it at that.
I'll just say the entire sports and Olympic entertainment has been a fraud from the very beginning. 100% black op distraction.
When you go and play football and you're making millions of dollars and you twist a knee or you break an arm or a leg or, I mean...
And first of all the games are rigged.
They are.
They're played, every last one of them.
They're all tied in with the corporations. It's not actual, it is gladiator games for the useless eaters.
Rigged.
And if it was really going to be what it was like they intended, it would look like Rollerball, if you remember that movie, and I don't want to go there. Or Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome. One enters, two enter, one leaves. We are not going into the cage of doom. No, I don't do that.
Didn't Bush own one of the Texas teams? And don't we keep seeing the Bushes at the football game?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. The Texas Rangers, I believe.
I don't think we've seen Barack do any of that. Did he do some of that?
I don't
think he did. I know Michelle's brother is in sports.
I just know that what I have heard from Laura Flanders and Montel and others is that as you are an up-and-coming athlete or an extraordinary person and you get noticed by the talent agencies, who comes in behind the scenes? Division number 5.
That's an
FBI. Ted Gunderson.
FBI Mossad.
Yeah. And
they did 9/11.
This is all tied in with the agencies. This is why Hollywood has to separate itself from the agencies, yet the William Morris Agency and others, all of it is tied in with an entrance to the black ops, and I have to just love them even more. But I hope this answers this question about what is going on in the sense where one thing looks one way and then it looks another, and Tiger Woods is a perfect example of that. Let's, you know, throw some dirt on this, you know, character, so to speak. And,
well, no, he cooperates.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the other lady who looked like Marilyn Monroe, who Anna Nicole Smith and the whole game that was played with her and the lawyer and the doctors and that billionaire that gave her all that money. Mm-hmm. it's all tied in with the fact that there's a lot of the old school that are leaving the planet, and they want to do the right thing and pay it forward and help people by paying it forward and getting rid of some of these billions and trillions, because they have been ordered to, you might say, on the highest levels. When you have 10 million, 10 billion, 10 trillion, you get a little message from these ascended masters in Saint Germain and folks, and they say, if you want to be part of this, it's time to pay it forward. Otherwise, we have to have a chat about you taking a walk with Andrew, because the energies, the timelines have changed. Earth has changed. If you want to be part of this, you're part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Right.
And even to this day, David Wilcock had an interview with Benjamin Fulford. They were talking about the fall of the Rockefeller Empire. This is tied in with the Clinton Empire, the Bush Empire. The Rockefellers are the new kids in the block, only in the sense...
Except that talking only about the Rockefeller Empire is wrong. And that means they're part of the war internally of Faction One, because remember Rothschild's Hillary Rothschild, and Clinton, Bill Clinton is a Rockefeller, and that war still goes on.
To this day.
Until they announce the czar.
And this is why every single day more and more and more is exposed to the sky, and people are waking up and going, oh my God, there is no spoon. I passed the talking stick.
Okay. Is it all right if I change the topic a little bit with another question?
Yes.
This question came in my email this morning, and I think people know that I'll just ask the questions on the air instead of calling in. Okay, so can you talk about the Galactic Federation point of view regarding energy, and specifically nuclear power plants, and we all know how they feel about nuclear proliferation, etc., and what's going to happen to energy next, that sort of thing.
What I understand about nuclear power plants is that knowingly Albert Einstein only gave part of the equation, because he knew that if they had taken the full equation, they would have invaded a long time ago with the Anunnaki imperial star cruisers.
Except that the Galactic stopped giving information of galactic nature to the Rothschilds, yet they gave a lot more to the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
And that's why Bill Clinton knows more than any Rothschild, including his wife, ever did about
hold it right there. Wait a minute. Which galactic?
What?
Which galactics?
What do you mean, which galactics? Ask your question more fully.
Sorry. You just said the galactics stopped giving so much information to the Rothschilds and started giving it more to the Rockefellers. I think that's what you said.
And yes. Okay, so you're asking which galactics?
Thank you.
Always, always, always the good guys. And the good guys did give information to the Rothschilds, yet when they took that information and they nuked Japan, that's when they stopped giving them information, that long ago. And that's why they stole Nikola Tesla's blueprints and all of his registered science. Because why? It's anti-gravity technology that they want. That is what they want. They want to get off the planet. They want to destroy the planet, take everything they can take with, destroy the human race, and bring the galactic
reptilian race of Anunnaki to control and live on this planet and get rid of the humans.
And absorb them
into a lower dimension just to use them and placate them and say, we're your God, so you should be happy serving us. And that's the gist of simple magic that they thought they could get away with. And they thought if they deprogrammed us that we would just go along with the program. And so as soon as the Rothschilds demonstrated that they had no intention of using nuclear energy for good, they stopped. And they had free will choice, and they gave them the benefit of the doubt until they didn't. And then the Rockefellers came forward at that time and expressed that they were interested in doing something good with it and that they would fight for it. And there are many, many a story we still haven't talked about all the different characters, but I'll just say that President Eisenhower was a transcendent soul.
Yeah.
That meant he was ascended master in a body. And what he did is he was able to do what he needed to do. He said, beware of, and I'm going to say all the words, and these words have to all be included, the bio, medical, military, industrial, congressional complex. And
yep.
You can't eliminate that last word. That is the biggest word that got kept out of that phrase. And yet and still, that's what he wrote. And then they forced him not to be able to say that last word when he said it out loud. So I'm just past the talking stick.
Okay. Oh, Rama, you were going to say more about nuclear energy, but I think what you both just explained is going to bring 100 more questions. That's good, but it's giving me a headache.
I understand. What I wanted to say is Albert Einstein and many of the others, when they played around with the Manhattan Project, and Oppenheimer himself, who created Fat Man and Little Boy, the two bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There was this really neat movie that was made about Oppenheimer and Dwight Schultz, the guy who played Barkley on Star Trek Next Generation, played Oppenheimer, and he showed the torment this guy went through when he was approached by the Black Ops to build these bombs, and his connection with Einstein, and all of this has to do with the fact that only part of the equation was given. And when you speed up the half-life of the radioactive isotopes to the speed of light and faster, there is no nuclear waste. It is a safe, you know. Right. There is no fusion. It is no fission. It is fusion. And it goes even beyond that, where we have ion drives. And even as, you know, they are, I've heard the stories that they are playing around at DARPA and other places with warp fields. They're trying to figure this stuff out. And they are getting really close. Yet, and they may have created a small warp field to travel at warp speed. Yet, this, intergalactically, interstellarly, outside this, you know, galaxy, even beyond maybe this universe, and at that place, this is where, as we are still, quote unquote, an infant culture race that is on the edge of galactic exploration, they are not going to allow us to use nuclear technology to get out there.
We're not an infant culture.
No, we're not.
We're completely not an infant culture, yet we've been cut off from all the knowledge of how long we've been cultured, you know, my civilized, how long we've been
galactic. Please forgive my words. I lack these.
No, you don't. No.
Okay, here's a million-dollar question. With all the technology, why did they introduce nuclear energy when it could be misused that way?
because they knew that it would be an evolutionary leap that we would get to. They knew that we were going to explore this. And this is why in 1933, when I went before the Solar Tribunal Council and I pleaded with them to give Earth and its people a chance, I said that they are on the edge of the galactic, understanding that they're about to leap into space exploration. Let's give them the chance to do it with love instead of war and invasion and occupation. And the Galactic Council said yes. And at the same time, they knew fully well they were going to go down the road they're going. This is why Ashtar in the 50s, 60s showed up and said, I am saying you change your modus operandi, no more hydrogen bombs, no more nuclear bombs. And it's changed, yet at the same time,
there have been incremental changes. The Galactics do not believe in predestination. And that's really the crux of this question. And
I think
what the Galactics know is that it's free will choice zone, and that we have a right to know the science of all things. And we also have the obligation and responsibility as a race to use our higher sense perceptions and to how to use all this knowledge that's advanced like that. And
right. If you remember
the question is not why, the question is how. Jenny Logan, teach me how to love.
Amen, sister.
And that brings in the Dakini Master, Lady Master Nada, Mary Magdalene, the best yoga teacher around, aside from being the best lawyer in the galaxy. I was just going to say that my understanding about the nuclear issue, this is why Obama took this on, and he made this agreement with Medvedev and Putin. And they are scaling down the nuclear arsenals across this planet. This is why he was given the Nobel Peace Prize. And it is leading to a place where there will be no nukes. And I could just say that that story could very well be right now, because the little pins are lighting up in that cosmic keyhole. And it all has to do with once everything's exposed and it's at that place. And already I believe that we're hours, days, I don't know. They're not telling me. I'm just saying it is that close in terms of, I passed the talking stick.
Well, Rama, I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, I go on Pravda every day looking to see if there's more comments, because there has been nothing public from Medvedev since my recall's not working. When was President Obama talking to Medvedev at a different conference at the end? Oh, when he was in Oslo, right?
Right.
That's the last public comment there was. Medvedev came back to Russia and made a public comment right after that meeting, and there's been nothing in their news about nukes since then. And unless someone has seen something, I go every day and I look specifically for that.
There's Russia Today is another newspaper, and I'm not familiar. Our friend Martin knows many more. I'm just saying,
I think Pravda is not the best, probably.
Well, there's information in newspapers all over the world, much more so than in this country. And it's coming through the internet in this country much stronger. Internet can't be
in
shut up.
In spite of the fact that we, are controlled in this country. This is the freest country that at the moment, I mean, to be able to do what we're doing right now with the freedom of speech.
And what Stephen Greer did. Greer did it in 1999. He was able to facilitate 400 deep throats coming together in a press conference for 2.5 hours, and about 23 of them or something got up there and told their whole story and cried their hearts out. That has never happened in this country.
This is why at this time right now it is such a tremendous time to walk and be careful how you're walking, because sometimes the road disappears and there is no road, like there is no spoon. Yet it will appear as you ask for the show me the path. It'll show up and it will look like a golden light, you know, a golden path. Follow the yellow brick road, huh?
And, you know, not all indigos know that they're indigos, and they don't even know what their gifts are, or they don't know how to use them. And so the galactic family of humanity oftentimes are being called upon to assist and to do something collectively to provide the proper environment for these new children with these higher energies. And that means in the educational classroom setting, or let's use the internet. The internet has been replacing classroom settings across the planet. And remember, we got that funny little cute little ad on MSNBC where people are going around, their superintendent of school or something, and they're in the classroom with these kids, and these kids got a computer, a big computer screen up in the front, and they're saying, well, we're going to go visit Japan. And they said, what? And they turned on the screen, and then they were in a classroom with Japanese students, and they were all talking to each other. This is indigo education. There's nothing to stop anything anymore, because the internet is bigger than you think. It's a fifth-dimensional intervention, and it's worldwide. So when we get our blessings, One of the goals is to make sure that every man, woman, and child has an access to the internet, and that we delete all the propaganda from that vehicle.
I passed the talking stick.
I noticed that around the people I know, Tara. A certain somebody I know who's very young got a computer and suddenly had a high absentee rate at school. And I told their teacher, I said, they're learning more on the computer than at school.
And the teacher said,
he got silent. I think he agreed with me. I told him he was a good teacher and he was doing more than the other teachers in the school, and yet still, this one was bored out of his mind, and he's learning so fast and so much. I'll ask him, you know, did you hear about this or that in the news? And he'll comment on the news, and he's young. And I'm shocked. And I said, where did you get that from? But he's on the computer so much, and then I just know. And he's learning everything.
Well, yeah, they are absorbing it exponentially at the speed of light, the indigo crystal beings, and they are transmuting it. This is why it is so cool with what's happening in the sense of the crystals that are 20-something, 30-something right now that are shifting the balance. These people that are getting on MSNBC news that are barely, in their 20s and in their 30s, maybe. And they are the ones that are shaking up the entire crown heads, if you will, turning them on their ear, because the old empire is over, and we have to take it to the next level and evolve. And that is where we take that quantum leap and learn how to give these things a new use, as Lady Master Tara says. It has to be. Otherwise, I'm not going to go there. I passed the talking stick. Only love.
So I guess I keep calling the school and saying, well, this one has a sore throat today. He won't be in.
Oh, boy.
Well,
I know. He sits on the computer all day. It's not that bad, but it's happened a lot more now than it ever did.
Yeah, and do they have folks where you live called truant officers?
Yes, they do, but our family has a reputation for being scholarly, so they're just looking the other way.
Very good. I would keep things in that way.
I'm good friends with the principals of the schools. I talk to them a lot. They call me trouble with a little T.
Oh, that's good. It's just like democracy with a little D. That's the way they're saying it on Amy Goodman now. They're talking about it with a little D. That's very good.
That's everyone down at the school knows me, and I'm always talking to them. Adrian, hi. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Thank you for calling.
I'm calling about the Gary McKinnon's case, the one who hacked into the U.S. military computer and was fighting an extradition battle to the U.S. And he was originally going to get like a short sentence in the U.K. You just the U.S. stepped in to get him extradited to the U.S. and give him 70 years. And he's been through the courts in the U.K. and lost the appeal. He went to the High Court, lost the appeal there. He went to the Court of Appeal, the second highest court in the land, and he lost his appeal and went to the highest court in the land, which was the House of Lords, and he lost his appeal in the House of Lords. And he and his mother have been receiving death threats. Even the journalists who support him has been receiving death threats, and it was coming from the U.S. embassy. Do you know anything about what's going on here? That pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Adrian. Have you heard about that, Rama?
Partly.
I didn't understand the whole thing. What about the U.S. Embassy? What's going on now? Adrian, can you say it again so I can understand what you're
saying? Gary McKinnon, who actually is the one that hacked into the U.S. Military computers for searching for UFOs and NASA and
there's a British citizen who hacked into the NASA computers, and they want to either like give him life in prison or something.
Oh well. You know, hacking into the NASA computers, they don't like that. But when they hack into everybody else's computer, they think that's okay. So they want to set an example. You know, I guess that's what they want to do, right? They want to set an example. Well, this is what we'll do to you if somebody else tries to do it. And
Of course, he received death threats on days. And the journalist who supports him received death threats as well. And it's that the person that was doing the death threats was from the U.S. Embassy.
All I can say about that is that that's how they behave. They do their very best to, set examples of people if they can catch them. And I just
got to say hurry up, Miss Sarah, because that reverses the whole pressure process of control. It just, that's all that's left right now. And between now and then, we must push for that. And remember always that Barack Obama is a double agent, and he's working for the light. And when is the last time you saw a president get up before a church full of black Moors on a Sunday morning and talk to people from his heart about what he does when he loses his cool? And he says, what I do is I turn to faith and I get calm. When's the last time you heard a president talk like that? Never. 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 Let's accentuate the positive now. And remember, we all have the answer to every question we ever ask before we ask it. And when we're asking for a question to get clarification, maybe what we can do is practice opening our third eye and our crown chakra and asking our higher self a question through the heart. You know, you think with your heart, you formulate the question from the heart, and then you feel out the answer from a higher Buddhic plane and practice that and see what the answer is. All these question and answer periods that we're in right now, that's what we're doing. We're doing that.
Of course, when the extradite somebody from the USA, they have to give evidence. But when the USA wants to extradite a British citizen from the UK, they don't have to give any evidence, and the British list. Government would just quite happily just hand them over to them, and it was in this treaty that was signed by Britain and many of the British representatives haven't actually seen the text until it actually was put on the statute books.
I remember Laura Flanders talking about this, and
can you go over it, because I have a little
this
hard time
guy. Who Adrian's speaking about was a researcher, and he hacked into the NASA computers, and it's, in a sense, he did it so well, and he was reading certain files that had to do with galactic visitors that were here.
In other words, classified material.
Yeah, at the 38th level, and he's like a high school kid or college kid. And
wasn't there a movie called The Navigator where the kid did that? Or there was something that was about the kid did it.
Yeah.
He was only 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. We can all do this stuff.
That's right. And
stop having secrets. No more secrets.
Well, one of the things is that when we started to wear clothes, we hid the aura. And I'm not saying to go streak through the streets. I mean, Tom Hartman tells these stories about people getting arrested all the time for getting naked and riding bikes or doing weird stuff. But we started wearing clothes, and that started to hide the aura back in the land of Pan. And, you know, things went downhill from there. But what I'm saying is that this British citizen, all of this has to do with the fake laws that are based on fear and secrecy that have to do, or they're hiding the wisdom of the fifth dimension and keeping us locked into the fourth or the third or the astral kingdom, so that, you know, we're still Ghostbusters. I mean, it's over. Oh, my. Glenda from Texas. I hope that helps, Adrian.
Oh, hey, thanks. Just call off now. Bye.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Wednesday I called because I had lost the disk to my computer, and I had talked to Mother. Beth said she thought she knew where they were at, but Mother wanted me to find them. And because I talked to my angel, which is named Zora. So Thursday night I was fixing supper, and this energy come on me, and I thought, I am going to find my computer disk. So I went into my room, and I opened up this box that has all my mother's hospital bills in there. Mm. And that disk, I had put those disks in that box with her bills. And I didn't remember doing that.
Thank you, Glenda. That was what I saw. Thank you. Beautiful.
You're welcome.
I saw it mixed in with a bunch of papers.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
It's, my mother has leukemia, but she has the kind of leukemia that is from a gene deficiency, and she takes medication that will keep her from dying. But the medication costs $3,500 a month.
Oh,
but her insurance pays for it. Isn't that crazy?
What's the name of the medication, Glenn?
Gleevec.
There is a doctor who invented that medication, and that is a white knight. And that medication works with the body in a way that it's hard to describe, but it joins with the cells in a certain way, and it's a good medication. It's a miracle drug what that doctor did, and I hope he will continue his work as the Galactics come, because what he's doing is amazing.
Well, that's wonderful to know that, because my mother's insurance pays for it, so it's wonderful.
They pay for it because it works so well, and the amount that it costs is ridiculous. We're still caught up in some bureaucracy, but that doctor saved a lot of lives.
Well, wonderful to know that. But I just took a road trip in my little car, you know, that I'm very paranoid about, and it did just fine. My angel Zora told me, said, Glenda, your car's going to be fine going there and going back. And my son drove it. He says, Mama, you need to rotate your tires, and you probably need new spark plugs. So he said, it's not nothing major. Just get over it, you know? So so I found the talking stick. Just want to let you know I found my disc, and my angel's directed me to it.
See, Glenda, there's really no limit of what you can do with your angels. So use your powers for good and keep exploring and do more fun things and finding stuff and fixing your car. Have fun.
Okay. Thank you.
Love you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, Rama.
Yeah?
I have another question.
I'm sure you do. What do I look like, Jada?
I'm sorry, I'm being lazy and taking the day off.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying I need a download if I'm going to become data.
Data.
Yeah, I am data.
Just so we have it clear, I know all the answers, but I'm asking for other people.
I understand. Ones that don't have the connection, if you will.
Well, it's this kind of fun party we have when we're going over these things and we're coming up to a higher speed so that we can all share the love.
Right. Yeah, because if it's just boring text, you know. Oh, my.
I can do that, too.
I can do that, too. Too many chat rooms.
All right, so I was wondering, did you happen to see the satellite photos over Australia of that circular anomaly?
I did for a second or two, and I remember, it was almost like this white luminescent, like translucent being.
Yeah, but it was big. It was gigantic. It was a quarter of the size of the continent.
And what I can say is that some of these folks, well, let's say they're not craft. They're living beings. And they're part of the angelic deviant kingdoms that are also part of the atmospheric energy, in the sense Earth Mother, Gaia, Viwamas, have technologies in of itself within the atmosphere of cleansing and purifying the prana in the air. And some of these beings are like cloud-like beings, or some of them end up looking like large jellyfish with tendrils hanging down. And some look like giant butterflies or angelic presences, and I'm not talking about the chemtrails or contrails that they try to play with. These are actual beings that move, and they don't fade or dissipate, and they just kind of wink in and wink out. And sometimes they're metallic looking or iridescent. And several times I've seen this over the valleys on the way to Albuquerque, and I've had heard calls on radio stations where people call up and they ask what it is, and the Air Force and the other folks don't know, and they just kind of guess. And, you know, in the sense they may be saying they know, or they may be saying there's, you know, we know of no, you know, special testing of any kind of equipment or exotic technologies yet. All of this has to do with the exposure of these secret societies that have this technology, and they're trying to look at us and keep it hidden, and it's exposing in of itself. Some of these beings out there are interested in our evolutionary development, and they're aiding and abetting our ascension. And that is kind of, you know, a wild thought, yet it is happening. And there are certain places you can go all over the planet and hang out and watch the energies in these vortexes, and you will see strange anomalies like you're speaking about, Beth.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Where do we go to, how do we get there to be with them?
You, I guess, as we, like, approach equinoxes and solstices, new moons, full moons, and these different quarter phases of the moon, along with the other galactic alignments of the planets and constellations, I mean, the way our friend Moonwise, she has a show on local public radio, Mary Lynn LeBlanc, she says every day the moon has a message for you, talking about what's going on with the present day reality. And it's as we ask our higher selves and the forces of light, every day the messages come in. I hope I'm making sense.
You're making sense. It's making me think of Pandora. This is the story of Pandora.
Yes, because it is like what they speak of. I forgot the name of how they call the Great Mother, Iwa or Iaya?
Iwa.
Oh, like
Iwa and her Wookiees.
Yeah, the Ewoks.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So, what's his name? My brain's not working. He knows that.
Yeah. And what's happening is all the strands all over the planet are lighting up throughout all the different sedimentary layers. This is why recently I saw an email talking about the crystals, the giant crystals, down in the cave of Nicaea near Chihuahua, Mexico. And more folks are waking up to the going and visiting that place. And that's one of the nerve centers of the planet. The crystals are nerves for Earth Mother.
Right. Rama, I hear that Marita has a question from her emails.
Oh.
Maybe we can tap into your data more.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, this is something that has...
Marita, you're a little soft. Can you get a little louder?
No, I can't.
I'll move the mic a little closer. Is that better?
That's better, yes.
Okay. This is a compilation of about five emails, and they're all asking, where are we in terms of the galactics in the idea of how many of the arrests have been done, and they just want to know on a scale of 1 to 100% what's happening there and where are we in that process?
Rama, I want to answer.
Go ahead.
I want to tell everybody that, okay, my thinking isn't working really well, so just bear with me for a minute, because when I try to remember things, it's hard today. What I want to say is that it started with me about last week sometime. Yes. I want to tell you all what's been happening with me. I'm going to say it in a lot of generalities.
Okay.
I've been ever since Haiti, I've been working every night in Haiti, and I've been going with no sleep. At least it feels like it's hard to describe. But what else has been happening is three times I've been called to the ships for special meetings, and then this has been happening in the last week or so. Then I was called to a special meeting somewhere else that was a secret meeting. Then I have experienced conversations with ones that I don't talk to very often. And what else is happening is there's some accelerated downloads happening to my body. And what else has been happening is I was told my mission, and I've been asking special questions, and they've been answered, and some other things have happened. Anyways, there's been some there's been some advancements in my knowledge, in my work, and in the meetings I've been having that never, ever happened before, and that's a sign. And so I just want you to know these things are happening. So if you're wondering, how can I be sitting around every single day saying, it's now, it's now, it's now, and I know it from my soul, is because these higher beings coming to me saying these things would not be happening, never happened before, and would only be happening if we were that close.
And I would also concur in the sense that I will say I'm a firsthand witness in the sense of being in Haiti, being in Afghanistan, being in Iraq, and picking up bodies, and I mean all kinds of bodies, body parts, and standing in the beam, and these folks getting reconstituted like the gold dust once they show up on the transporter platform.
That means that they have their etheric blueprint accessed. And Metatron is the being who holds those etheric blueprints.
And they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and they're going, I thought I was dead. You ain't dead, dude. You just working on that higher level. And they say, well, bring it on. You know, let's have some more of this. And where's my other two buddies? And they show up right alongside him. Well, let's get to work. We'll be back in that level where, I mean, this is what's happening that's not being discussed, and I wish they would on the mainstream news. Yet, it's like in the movie Network, where somebody's got to take the mic and take the risk, and they just may lose that, you know, that might be their swan song on the airwaves that night. Yet it will break the corporations, it will break the FCC, and I will just say, as someone might take the airwaves to do it, Ashtar might also back them up and do it along with them. That is how this could all work. I'm just throwing ideas out there with what's going on, with what I've been told. And I've seen too many movies.
No, you've seen more movies than anybody, Rama, and it's good.
I mean,
it's good.
It is, because what does Hollywood do? But they're telling us the story of how to, what is it, Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and he lays it out in lavender. Every day since Christmas, Tom Hartman's been playing stuff like that. Jimmy Stewart showing up and standing up, doing the good fight. And it's happening. People are listening. Every day, Randy Rhoads, Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy say, call up your Congress people. At least three times a week, I call up the Capitol switchboard and Bernie Sanders and our two senators and congressmen and say, please get this done now, and they know who I am.
And they know what's being... Let's get this one really straight. This idea that there is a lack of knowledge of what this is about is already propaganda to its largest extent ever. And let's just put it this way, that everybody knows something's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. So, as we have some basics, what is the first basic? We must have love. We know that's basic. And let's add a little more information. Love is the 12th strand. And what occurred in the experiment, now, in infinite wisdom, remember, in the mind of God, everything's perfect. That's what it means by from the point of light within the mind of God. Let's just know that humanity, M-A-N, is right in the center. And remember that we said that every form of life, that means on the ships, I'm a medical doctor on the ships, yet I create new species. I'm a geneticist and a biologist. And so what's going on here is we know the knowledge of the law of the one now. And I was guided to pick up Swami Purna's book from last year. And I expect to see a lot of us with Swami Purna this year. He is coming back. I am just saying... The title of this book is The Truth Will Set You Free. So, love, you know, there's a book. It's called Love Is Not Enough. Oh, okay. And Stevie Wonder actually said this. Stevie Wonder said, what love needs now is more love. That more love. You know, I say I love you and then you say, ditto, or you say, I love you more. And then, you know, I'm from Missouri. Show me. What does that mean? That means I need to see the actions that reflect the word. You know, in the beginning was the word, and what was the next part of that? And the word was...
Oh.
And I'm going to put it this way, and the word was goddess.
ESS on the end of that. And I'll say why. There is a time period now that we will be applying this feminine energy and learning together how that works. Remember we said earlier that the question why is asking based on knowledge. When there is a need to take action based on knowledge, we need to add something very important. And the addition, actually, I need to say, we need to remember something. We need to remember something because the feminine comes before the masculine. Action is masculine. That's why we must understand that in the spiritual, as above, it's electric blue. It's Excalibur's sword of truth blue. So love has something to do with knowledge. And it's the complementary state that we're talking about. Because on another physical plane, I said that was the color number one on the spiritual ladder of color, sound, and vibrational teaching patterns. In the physical, it's red. And that's the first chakra, the ruby red ray. In order for it to be honored, it must be known. And it is the entrance into the womb of the mother. The entrance into the womb of the mother, of the seed of the mother. And that's a funny term, but we did learn it in another person putting those words together, saying that every form is feminine before there's a determination as to the penis forming biochemically. And in the mitochondria, 9/10, 90%, 9/10 of what's contained in the mitochondria comes from the female energy. And that means that the body of the male and the body of the female both have female energy every single place except the physical. In other words, the demonstration of the purpose in the physical is to be the outward manifestation of the feminine on earth with knowledge of the truth. Excalibur sword of truth on the spiritual plane is the higher plane of knowledge of the truth. When we have a Maharaj, a Sri 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 Guru Swami, S V as in victory, A M I Purna Maharaj, that cannot be found lest you travel India for 100 years. And he's here. And I picked it up, and I think I would love, if we still need to ask questions, so be it. I would love to say that I might want to read something from here.
Lady Marita,
yes, I have a comment. One of the things... I understand the talking about not having any sleep. It seems like I feel like I only have a couple hours, whether I get that or not. So I understand that, and I'm having trouble remembering and keeping a thought in mind. It's like almost, oh, what was I going to comment about here? But one of the questions that has come up, and I know we've talked about it, and you talked about the blueprint and everything, but there are people that are saying, okay, those that have left the physical now, and do we expect them back in the with the to look like the physical when we have the shift and the change? What is that going to be like? And I know we've gone over it before, but some clarifying or some reiterating of some of that. Will they step off the ships? Will they look like this? Will they be wearing clothes? Will we have a need for clothes? Is any of this having, you know, it's like what is in the physical, we know and we can accept this, but little more ideas about what's it going to look like if my friend has left and how will that be? So that kind of sums up.
What I can say about that is as first contact occurs, the ship's counselors and the more human-looking of us will be showing up so that people don't get freaked out. And there might be a few that have tails, but yet it's not, in a sense, a funny thing to have a tail. I mean, I have a tail and I'm not going to hide it.
Well, and the introduction of Avatar, I mean, isn't that wonderful to help people, realize that there is possible people that look different? And so it's, like you talked about the movies, yes, they're introducing things to people all the time.
Yeah, it's at a level that's moving so fast that you just got to ride the waves every single second.
So when people have their friends or family, when they see them, they want to know if they're going to look alike. Will they be wearing clothes, or will it be a different kind of body?
They will be looking very much like they did look, only a more healthy, vital, like in the prime of their moment, like maybe 20s, 30s, 40s. If they choose to take on that persona, I've seen Hatton can look 10,000 years old at 1 minute and 25 the next.
You know, Babaji showed that to the people. There were at least 25, 30 different presentations, from a very youthful to a very ancient being, and everything in the middle.
Dahani did that at a workshop in Vermont, and she watched she witnessed herself, and what she did was she went to being 5,000 years old to 30 years old, and she just transformed in front of 30 students in this house where we were doing the class. And everybody got shook up, and I didn't, because I've seen this stuff before, and everybody was looking at each other, and it's just transforming the energies. At a certain level, what this is also called is Raja Yoga, where you can shrink yourself down to the size of a particle, and then make yourself as large as a mountain.
That's the story in Alice in Wonderland, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
She goes down the rabbit hole.
Well, you take a certain part of the mushroom on the left side and you grow big. And if you take it from the right side, you get small. You got to watch that.
That's how you become a grasshopper, too.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us more about grasshopper medicine, sir?
I've had a few grasshoppers for dinner.
Oh, no.
They're not bad, especially when they're covered with chocolate, but I'm not going to go there. This is not, you know, travel TV on the Discovery Channel.
You know what? Kabir said something about truth that will set you free. For work has no other aim than getting knowledge of truth. When that comes, work is put away. The flower blooms for the fruit. When the fruit comes, the flower withers. Kabir.
Mm-hmm.
That's a transformative, in other words, out of the fruits of our labor comes the fruit. Let's see if I said that right. Out of the fruits, in other words, work ceases as the flower blooms for the fruit. And then when the fruit comes, the fruit of our labor, the flower withers. Well, that means that we are ready for the next flower. Is that not the idea of the beginning of spring now?
Annual. It shows up every year.
Well, some of them are more than that.
Yeah.
There's only two seasons in the beginning. It was spring and, I mean, it was summer and winter. And when we went into the next division of astrology into four quarters, then we talk about spring and fall. And we talk about equinoxes. And, again,
that has to do with how this planet got its axis and the whole tilt shifted when we were...
Well, and again, you know, learning about those simple things right now, I know that in the Christian era, it has been a general belief system of taboos that have to do with numbers, astrology, the tarot, the Kabbalah, the door of God. What are we doing here?
Islam.
We're absolutely eclipsing the spirituality. When we eclipse that, we eclipse the femininity. And that's present in all of our auras, that pink color. The pink color. I know that when I first went to the I Am Sanctuary on Randolph Street in Chicago, I talked about this once. It was in the dead of winter. There was a massive snowstorm. And I just decided to, for the first time, to walk in there with two little children. And they were like four and six. No, yeah, Christopher and Daniel. And I had a little Red Riding Hood, red and black checkered poncho on. And the elders kind of got a face on them. And one of the ladies, instead of doing that, she ran into the library and she pulled out the Magic Presence, which is the first green book, and you learn all about Lady Mastrinada in there. And then the first thing you look in the sanctuary, there are no red or black color in that entire sanctuary. Rama, do you want to talk about that since you addressed that and went to school there?
It has to do with the colors that are pastel and the colors that work with the soft tones rather than electric colors, psychedelic.
Well, no, these weren't psychedelic or electric. They were the color red and the color black. And I have an insight, maybe. And the color red in the physical, that color red represents power.
The Ruby Ray Masters.
And they took power and that color red, and they displaced the meaning of red, which is feminine. That's why they changed the name to they didn't change the name. They kept the name the same. What they covered up is that the name did not mean male energy. It meant female energy was the number one in the physical. It's the power of knowledge. It's raw power equals raw knowledge. What you do with it, how you use it, as you would go to the spiritual color spectrum, it would be Archangel Michael's Excalibur Sword of Truth as number one, and that would be blue. And the color blue is love and self-acceptance, gentleness, kindness, openness, understanding. And Saint Germain said what? We have two things. We have our physical body, that's the ruby red ray, and we have our understanding, the blue ray.
So on the spiritual level, the number one color is Archangel Michael's Excalibur Sword of Truth, which is the blue ray, which is the feminine as well. That's why I said that earlier, that masculine is feminine first. Therefore, it's two feminine rays which evolve, where the choicefulness of the evolution of the body, it would be decided at a certain point that there would be a penis to form in the physical structure of the body. It would be interesting to go a little further and ask at what month does that occur. I got a fourth month very strongly, because that's the number where spiritual path would be determined in the fourth month.
Tara, yes. if I remember my training right, it's week 17 of pregnancy.
Week 17, let me think about that. That's 4, 8, 12, that's 3. It's the beginning of the fourth month. Hey!
I'm pretty sure that's close. I could Google it, but not right now.
No, that's, let's see, 4, 8, 12, 16. No, that's the beginning of the fifth month. Sorry. It's the 17th week would be the beginning of the fifth month, correct?
Yeah, that's probably too far. You're right.
Yeah, the beginning of the fifth month. Well, that's okay. That's the number for change. In other words, I would say our first responsibilities in the womb space, consciously in the womb space of our mission. In other words, before we come into the uterus, into the womb space of, by the action taken of penis releasing seed into womb space and reaching the fallopian tubes and impregnating the egg with the sperm, that is all part of the lovemaking process.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not and it's passed on, there are some ramifications that are so enormous. We are now seeing what those things are. And when we know, and I'm telling you, this is what Hitler did. He learned from the Setonians. That's why Sirius has to have someone else come in and intervene in this civilization's development on the solar basis of the constellation of Sirius being a trinary sun system, whereby our sun Sol is the third. And now in regular astronomy, they only call it a binary constellation, Sirius constellation, and they only include Sirius A and Sirius B. That is also a cover-up. That is the biggest cover-up when you understand that the Syrian command must be the ones that also one of their brothers and their sisters decided to become overlords. And so during the period of the Atlantean period, those contaminants from Sirius A and Sirius B really took hold on the earth plane. In other words, in the order of the sequence of events in the Orion War, we have to back up. How did that contamination get to Sirius A and Sirius B in the first place? It came through the Orion War in the Orion's Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And where did it come from in the Orion's Belt first? It came from the fourth quadrant of the Milky Way galaxy sectors, four quadrants, in the constellation, in the antimatter locale of the Pleiades. And that is located in our spiritual history, her story, as where in the history recordings do you find this kind of fact? You only find it in science. In other words,
understanding that science. That was what Sir Francis Bacon was, a master alchemist, a master teacher, a master mathematician, a master philosopher, and a master writer that changed the English language forever to the good by writing all of the Shakespearean plays. This is something we do not learn in English class, and it should be number one on the list. A child can actually be totally genius and not ever lose that genius once we learn that they already know that when they come in, and as we now demonstrate that we live in our lives right now with that knowledge. That's the action of the Blu-ray, because that's the spiritual path, and the spiritual path is nonlinear. It comes from space. It comes from the space in between the cellular molecular structure of every atom, and every part of our molecular structure has space in between. And it's nonlinear. That's the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Without the Maserat of the heavens, how would we see the stars? That's the eye. The central intelligence agency of the brain is the eye, the largest exposed nerve of our physical body. And that eye has a third eye, right at the base of the bridge of the nose as it goes up onto the forehead. And then there's a frontal lobe mid part of the brain. And there is another acupuncture point there, which reflects the higher pituitary pineal connection. Because when you go into the center of the brain, you have a convergence there of the pineal with the pituitary, the sixth and the seventh chakras, energy portals. The seventh entry portal for the pineal gland is at the crown, and it's what do you call this? The fontanel, right, Rama?
The soft spot.
And Rama's... Yeah. Fontanel is still soft, like a newborn baby's.
Yeah.
That's extremely rare. What that means is the two lobes are completely open there.
I'm getting
there.
A little dizzy.
And you're getting dizzy because I'm just touching that. I'm just saying it's like touching that frequency of a newborn baby. It's still in Rama's physical presence. That is extraordinary. It's extremely rare. Yet we are changing that right now. Even as we speak, I can tell you that that discussion that we were listening to, I can't remember who was even talking about it now. It was in one of those stories about Mr. Stewart. What's his name? The 29-year-old. We played a couple of weeks ago, you played a series of information about the Holy Grail.
And that was,
The science of going beyond even junk DNA. In other words, what I understood was that we already did that. We went into the junk DNA and we became aware, and it was back in 2006, and Cynthia talked about it, and that we were not even in this. We were at the outer rim of the Milky Way galaxy, yet not even in it. Right, Rama?
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't remember the name of that galaxy yet. We were still so close to the rim of this galaxy, yet the dark side has been racing against that time period
because the reason that we weren't even in it is because we were blown off of our orbit's axis that far that we were outside the Milky Way galaxy when, at the time of Atlantis.
Yep.
When we blew this place, we actually moved the physical orbital path into a wobble off of its axis. And at the time, they already knew that it appeared beyond the point of return and that we needed a miracle to save it. The laziness, the comfortability of being royals in Atlantis, the slipping and sliding around into lustful activity, into, and you know the teachings of Krishna, that's what they do. They go through this picture where a child is born and then the child actually goes through a whole process of growing up, and at a certain point they die, and that is called reincarnation. Now, what that was a provisional moment in time that is not how it was in the beginning. We created ourselves immortal in the 12th dimension, in all 12 strands, with our oversoul, Sekhmet Ma'at, complete. Ma'at representing world group service of the mother through all of the knowledge being acted upon in the world, which would require the masculine to be equal with the feminine. And in that science report, they said that was science. That was science, that we were able to access that so-called junk DNA with the knowledge that the feminine precedes the masculine. And that is, feminine is love. Love, you can touch it. You can touch it as the knowledge is provided.
Mm-hmm.
When, for a very long time, the knowledge appeared not to be truth. And that's the interventiveness of the eagles, the ground crew, that we volunteered to be, and in particular in this moment. This is the moment where past, present, and future converges harmonically, harmonic convergence of all missions of all time from the very beginning. And again, look at it numerically. The number code is 450 billion years. That is a 4 plus a 5 equals a 9. And that's as simple as that. 4 is spiritual foundation. 5 is change toward that spiritual foundation from whatever wobble in space may have been provided us to learn from as a collective. I pass the talking stick.
Tara, I know that we have Big Will on the line, but I just want to add one thing before we go on.
Yes.
Okay, there. I want to lay down the science that you were talking about, the male and the female. Okay, so when the fetus is growing, then it has something called a genital tuber, and that is the non-specific, non-sexual part of the anatomy that is growing with the fetus. And at week 13 is when whatever chemicals the baby emits to the mother, that's what causes the growth of the penis, and that happens in week 13. It takes longer to become a clitoris with a labia. That takes until week 17.
Okay, now listen, that's very good, because remember when I said I thought that it was the beginning of the fourth month? Well, week 13 is the beginning of the fourth month. Now that you deciphered those two points, mm-hmm. where the biochemical decision is at the beginning of the fourth month.
Right.
That self-determination begins then with the child determining itself between then and week 17. In other words, the feminine aspect during that period, and that means, I got to just say this, when Micah was in his 13th week in my belly, I was in Seattle, Washington, and there were two spiritual Sikh therapists, massage therapists and sound therapists, and they were working over my belly, and they were toning, and my child in my belly did a somersault and actually sent a sound in a terms of a sound of when they laid their ears to the belly, they could hear a certain sound in the heartbeat that
cool.
they could hear. I'm just telling you that that means that boy child was held by two men in the 13th week to experience that. That has to have a lot to do with the environment that that child chose to come into and with that child's mission in terms of the mother. Isn't that fantastic? I'm just putting all of that together. And the indigo child, indigo crystal magenta child, Micah, wholly innocent. What does that mean? It means very, very, very few physical incarnational patterns in this earth experiment. Only coming in to absolutely come in at the beginning and the end of a particular yuga to bring that energy of the next initiation of the energy of Admiral Sananda Kumara into the planet. And this indigo crystal magenta vibratory children, all the rainbow children at that, it's the seventh initiation and incarnation of the energy of Sananda Kumara on the planet, which means all pineal glands activated fully and fully functional. All other life, you might say, disappears and slash or ceases to exist as it's an illusion without the pineal gland fully activated, nurtured, and maintained. The flowering is inhibited, and therefore, in God's mercy, Goddess's mercy, she takes that child and moves that child into an environmentally friendly phase of timing where that can still take more time and not cease that soul's mission to exist. And in this moment of justice, this is what it means when the Dalai Lama says there is a time to kill. And when the birds sang to every season, turn, 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 and that there is a time to kill. That means in the winter, that with withers dies, only to have the seed of that original stamen, which was nurtured into another flower in the next phase, be able to go dormant and to also be able to go into introspection and determine itself and its path. And that is the seed of consciousness that lovemaking is about. Tantra is about love making with the one beloved. And that is a truth that sets us free because we are love making all the time. lovemaking in every thought, every word, every deed, everything we see as goodness, everything we hear as goodness, everything we think as goodness, everything we experience as goodness. It is impossible to do anything else. And everything else, false evidence appearing real, ceases to exist by the balance point of the thought with the following of the action through the application of love with knowledge. Then we move love into actions that reflect truth, which is the second step. And the second step has two colors. The third step has two colors. And then the fourth step, you might say, let me say that again. The first step appears only to be a single color, yet there are two colors behind it, because there are three primary colors. And the naked eye can selectively see color with the two eyes, yet can see the complementary color with the third eye, and vice versa. In other words, we have visible and invisible access to our vision. What we're doing is repairing a false evidence appearing real, which takes on a fear, which makes manifest something that looks real, which is only an illusion, because we understand that there is misqualified energy involved that produces this false evidence. Our corrective course is always to become and then to access our higher sense perception and feel with that. We have to know that there is such a thing as a higher sense perception and feel with that, especially in times of trauma, especially when we are afraid. Every actor that gets on the stage says, "I'm afraid." It doesn't matter how many times we do it. And that's a healthy fear. That's what's called fear of the Lord. The Lord being the higher self, the higher sense perceptivity, of which in the eye of a storm, there is always calm. That's why be calm is the first law. Then we can access our higher sense perception. We can do it merely by knowing that it's truly there. We have no way of doing that. We lose our sensibilities as we get caught up in the outer periphery of the storm. So we needed a lot of help when we ended up outside the Milky Way galaxy, going around and around on a wobbling axis. And Rama, where is that now? I mean, we've been wobbling off of our axis. Even, you know, the highest point would be 23.5 degrees off our axial excursion. What's occurred now?
I do not know the precise measurements, yet I know that what is happening is we are moving into an orbit that is bringing in the reality where those seeds, pods that are stored in the Giza capstone will be released, and all the atmosphere on the planet will be cleaned up almost immediately, and as things are shifting in the arrangement of Earth Mother herself moving her physical body in the sense of some shifting going on, and I'm not talking about earthquakes, I'm talking about spiritual shifting, which is moving land masses at a certain level. It's changing the very nature of reality itself. And what I'm trying to say.
That's right, because it's reversal. The eye of the hurricane, the eye of the storm is where divine neutrality exists in universal principle. That is centrifugal force. That's what's talking about. In other words, all things are magnetized to the center of our being.
Right.
And as we are one beingness, and as we as mothers took the responsibility of bringing one beingness into the hearts of the home, that would mean that the male complement would be in service to the mother. And it's reflected when we really get to what happened. When we started off on this nation building, and we have to go back to, the Moorish nation. And the Moorish nation built its nation on the mother principle. And that is the law of nature and nature's God that is spoken about when in the course of human events. There is a travesty that occurs here. We don't even, I mean, we should read that again. I'm just saying that we have to apply our course correction by what actually happened. We were formed as a Moorish nation which followed the principles of the divine feminine, the mother. One mother, one mother, one Kemet mother, meaning black, meaning indigo, meaning every color of the rainbow, every hue, H-U-E, of mankind. Look at that term, mankind. Mankind is of kindness, of goddess. Man is of woman. Man is of a hue, man, with a womb space.
Right.
That is something we volunteer to inhabit. You know, Beth can really, you are an exemplary person right now to converse with on this, as you chose to be Mark's mother.
Right, right.
And you chose to come back as a mother in order to help Mark, as a mother,
right,
who
right.
was his mother. And this experience that Mark has had can't go away. It's part of reality, and it is only natural that a child, two children of this father have the capacity to learn who their father is. No child is behind their father. Every child comes before every father. And before that comes the womb man. There are no male children without womb men. And the womb man volunteers. That means we volunteer to be womb men.
And what I can say, Tara, is besides mothering the three and this mother role with Mark, I have a mothering role on different levels as well, more than one. And a mother, you know, prepares the bird to fly from the nest, and the mother loves and guides but doesn't get in the way of growth. Right?
Exactly. That's why, you know, there was this big controversy when I was teaching at the college level, and I was teaching with a East Indian teacher, a PhD from the University of Chicago in parapsychology, and teaching at a university level that way, what we taught was
how to facilitate learning. That is parapsychology. Parapsychology is how to teach or how to facilitate learning. Jenny Longin, teach me how to love. It's a completely different understanding of being a teacher, a true teacher, when you do that. Because the way that one lives is the teaching. That's what it's called by the what did the Nazarene Essene order teach? They taught the way. What it was the way, it was merely the example of living with truth, living with love applied. That's what truth is. Well, truth must be witnessed first. So living with love is the first step. And we have been living without love in our economy, without love in our politics, in science, in religion, in education, in health, in welfare, in economics, in agriculture. The absent quality of love in all of our disciplines.
Big will is on.
I cast the talking stick. Big Will is on the line. Is that okay? We can go from here, Beth?
Excellent. Yes, always.
All right, Big Will. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, this is Big Will, known as Captain Liger. All right, here's my question. This is to either of the ladies. This is for either Beth or Tara. And my question is this. This summer, Chelsea Clinton is planning to get married. And the question is this. Bill and Hillary Clinton, will they be around to see this marriage?
Oh.
I pass the talking stick.
Big Will, what kind of question is that? Come on.
Yes! And I
I'm throwing you on the carpet.
Yes, there's no sense. Why would only the women get asked that question? No, 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 no. That's not how it works.
Okay, let's review. You already know this answer, Big Will. Bill Clinton is a double agent. Right? And Hillary Clinton is already arrested and on lockdown and going before Mother Sekhmet. What more do we need to know? And besides that, Chelsea knows who her parents are. She's awake and aware. God bless her, and I wish her the best on her future.
Yes, I want to second that motion. Rama has spoken to Chelsea since 1997 about all of her parental antics, and she knows it all. Be in love. This is a beautiful soul. Imagine volunteering to be a part of the DuPonts and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers all in one basket. This is a beautiful soul. God bless her soul. All of the rest of us beautiful souls, as we continue this group process of seeing the goodness in everything, it becomes the norm. That is what Naomi Klein said. She said, it's our job to move the center. A centrist will be a centrist as they're good at it. Barack Obama is absolutely that, beyond the question of a doubt. And the discussions and the decisions, and let's go back to what we were saying earlier about the Bill Moyers comments when we listened to that section on the air last night. And they said exactly that in their own words, that
everybody loves this man. And it's because he exudes love. And he does it in a way which teaches by facilitating us. In other words, he says, okay, you don't appreciate, you don't like this. I took this position for a reason, for you to turn around and use discussion. And so then we've got Laura Flanders. We've got all of the whistleblowers passing through Laura Flanders' talk show. And by the way, in case you want to know this, as you have cable, you can request your cable company to put Laura Flanders from Free Speech TV on your cable. And they will, by request. So go for it, as those of you who have not got a dish want to really get engaged in conversations of peace, conversations that are strongly holding accountable everything and using their divine neutrality to speak with love on these subjects and do it with discernment and without all the hoopla. This is what moves the center. And then Barack reflects that back to the people. Now we have Haiti. Now we have our wealthy visionaries back again. Remember again, after 9/11, it was 2 weeks, and they did concert, yet they were in undisclosed music studios all over the world. They were in London. They were somewhere in Madras, India. They were in Africa. They were in everywhere, and they were not telling anybody. And you could even, they're going to bring that whole thing back. They're in the background. It was nondescript, and that was for their protection, because they had all already been gagged 2 weeks later. And what's her name, Rama? Sybelle Edmonds. Sybelle Edmonds had already been hired by the FBI to transcribe things that were discussed by ambassadors to Turkey. For instance, she spoke Turkish. She speaks Turkish and can understand it and translate it. She also has the knowledge of being able to translate Farsi, which is Iraqi language. Okay, she also is Iranian. She was born in Iran. She was raised in Turkey, and then she became a citizen and came over here to the United States, and she's a lawyer, and she's hired by the FBI to transcribe conversations between, to translate, yes, conversations where very well-known politicians and, Rama, I could probably safely say someone like Dick Cheney is part of that problem, right?
Yeah.
As well as Hillary Clinton. Why? Because Hillary Clinton, number one, she represents the DuPont family of the 13 families, and they are responsible for all explosives that are developed and used and available to be used, including nuclear weapons. So she had everything to do with passing secrets, nuclear secrets, between the conversations were between Turkish ambassadors to the United States at the Turkish embassy in D.C., having conversations with people like Hillary. So then she had to translate that stuff. That means she knew stuff that Hillary would have a list, and she would be on the top of the list to be dead about. So now you can see that she's not dead. How come? Because the King of Swords has had her in a witness protection program, which includes the Ashtar Command. And without them, that's the Pleiadian. The mandate is that Pleiades has been given exception to come and intervene in our civilization's development at this time. At this time, meaning to be a neutral force in terms of the Syrian situation that we are part of. I hear a bunch of noise. Is that you, Big Will? Are you sneezing or something? There's a big situation here that we still haven't had total revelation of. Yet, we know that this is so. And Richard Hoagland does too, and that's why they tried to kill him. And Richard Hoagland knows more and has been more involved and has been able to be protected in a witness protection program. And he still had to pass his test because they did get him. And he was supposed to be dead. Actually, he was dead. And Mother came and helped him out of that fix. And so he lived. And Mother spent two more times having a nice little chat with him. And the second time that chat was had was with a whole bunch of other people. We were in a private dining room at a restaurant here in Santa Fe. And Mother Sekhmet came through, and Steve Bassett was in that room. Mm-hmm. And who else? George Nuri was in that room. And his lady friend was in that room. What was her name? I forgot. And Richard Hoagland was in that room. And who else was in that room? Bob Dean was in that room with his wife.
Yeah.
Who else was in that room?
Oh, Jim Delicato and Miriam Delicato. And
tell the people who they are.
She changed her name, I think. He has a website, alienzoo.com.
Is that a good website?
It's okay. It deals more with phenomena and degrees and abductions and...
Oh, you know who else was in that? Jaime was taken to the airport. Jaime Musan is like a Dan Rather or...
Of Mexico.
Of Mexico City as an anchor news person. And what do all these people have in common? They have in common the fact that they were coming to a prophets conference in 1999 here in Santa Fe. And Ghost Wolf was there too, and Ghost Wolf is no longer on the planet, and Ghost Wolf was compromised.
Yeah.
He was totally 100% compromised, and Mother basically faced him in that room and told everybody that he was compromised. All these people knew their galactic mission and what they were going to be able to accomplish from that moment on. Okay, there is somebody on, what does that say? Oh,
that
okay.
That message is from me.
Okay, so in other words, do we want to ask the people or are
I don't know. I'm either way, it's fine with me.
Well, you know what? I still would really like to read something from Swami Purna's.
I would love it if you do that.
I would just love to do that if everybody would be okay with that.
It's a fantastic teaching, and I don't think it can be heard enough.
Okay, and so then we could go on. And then maybe after that you could do Betatron, and if anybody has any further questions in between, we can do that too. Lady Master, are you there?
That sounds really good.
All right. Do you want me to start?
Yes. Yeah. I was just saying, you know, we could wrap it up at 3 hours if you wanted to, or we can go on. It's up to you. I don't have to do that thing today.
Well, I'm enthusiastic for it.
I agree.
Yeah, because it's preparing us. Every day is asking us to be in that moment and prepare ourselves.
And again, I read that little thing from Swami Purna's first page by Kabir, and I'll read it again. It says here, the name of the book, The Truth Will Set You Free. And then it goes on, it's a quote from Kabir. And Kabir is a Sufi, everybody. And it says, for work has no other aim than getting knowledge of truth. When that comes, work is put away. The flower blooms for the fruit. When the fruit comes, the flower withers. That means we use the fruit for nourishment, so that we can bring that nourishment into the body, and then we can do the work again on the next level and create the flower and then the fruit, and this is the circle of life. And so I wanted to read chapter 9, which is the final chapter. And it's called, But Guruji, and that's G-U-R-U-J-I, But Guruji, in quotes. Then there's another little poem, it says, or a writing. It says, as one has supreme love for God, and let's just remember God is representing the humanity of all of us. And know that the feminine and the masculine in all of us now is coming into its full balance. And that as the protector, the male protects the feminine in all of us. And that means every time that good householder is protecting the feminine, the hearth, the heart, the fire, the pyramid, the fire in the center is Ra, Mother Sekhmet's father, knowing that father and mother are feminine. And that is passing it along. And Mother said it this way. She said, every yuga, my consort, Alcyone and I, we trade places. And I become Alcyone. And Alcyone becomes mother. How about that, everybody? And all the male ones here, coming in here. Let's just apply that thought. Okay, so as one has supreme love for God, Goddess, all that is, and also loves his master as God, then the light of his teaching shines in a great soul. It shines indeed in a great soul. This is by Svetasvatara. It's the Svetasvatara Upanishad. Some people say that they are searching for truth. Yet this is mostly pretense. As not, one would not be disappointed when faced with the truth. People ask their friends, quote, please tell me the truth. Yet when told the truth, they get hurt. Why? Because no one really wants to accept reality. It seems easier to continue under the cloak of illusion. Reality destroys the charade. Reality, however, cannot be avoided forever. The time will come, as you are dissatisfied with everything that life as you have known it has to offer. You have seen, heard, tasted and enjoyed all. Yet happiness and contentment have eluded you. Then you may begin to look for a deeper, more profound meaning of life. Many of you have gone from religious orders to spiritual organizations. All this is necessary preparation and testing. At the moment of complete exhaustion, when the sincere has been sorted from the false, along comes the real master,
and being a reflection of the self which abides in each creature. The genuine seeker will instinctively be attracted to him. At this point, you may ask, yet how can I be sure of the master's authenticity? You may be assured that the real master, the true guru, meaning dispeller of the darkness of ignorance.
Somebody's, Julie.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Are we going to take Julie in the middle of this? Well, Julie, is there something? Okay, I'll take it. Okay, Julie.
Kara?
Yes.
You can finish. I'm patient.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. It's not
that.
All right. So you're just there. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So meaning dispeller of the darkness of ignorance, guru that is, will know exactly how to let you experience who and what he is, the man with the plan we're talking about here. Number 12. Man is the number 12. It's man is love. That's what number 12 is. It's the love DNA. Number 12. The high energy which the guru transmits effects a turnover to the aspirant's personality. Even hidden thought, desire, and quality comes to the surface, both good and bad. For some whelming negatives, reminiscent of the old proverb that as you are surrounded by alligators, it is difficult to remember who your initial objective, to remember that your initial objective was to drain the swamp. Yet this cleansing process is absolutely necessary for the purification of the body, the mind, and the soul. The idea is to catch whatever mud comes up and to remove it promptly before it can sink the unsinkable Molly Brown. I guess she knew about this principle. Okay. Thus it will trouble you no more. It seems, however, that instead of mastering this difficulty, you become its victim time and again. It is necessary for you to understand that whatever you see or perceive is the product of mind. Mind is one of the four aspects of the subtle body, the others being intellect, ego, and emotion. Though essentially one, while manifesting separately, these four will do their work. Ego lurks in every thought, often backed by emotion. With the aid of this unstable couple, mind will create the rule and rule you. Intellect, the advisor, is mostly ignored. It is your decision to be the victim of these instincts or their master. In the big ego / emotional ocean, you lose all control of yourself. One moment you are being flung up, riding on a big wave, and nearly drowning the next in constant fluctuation. There is no balance. There is no stability. Programmed by previous conditioning and present environment, the four instincts of the subtle body will influence you to project the unstable consciousness of the outside world and will dictate your life. To be able to assimilate and understand higher truths, these instincts must be purified. Only through purification can mastery be achieved. As motivated by a real longing to find your source, to find freedom, knowledge, love, and light, you recognize the necessity of this process. There should be no problem at all. Yet, what happens along the way? You forget. As soon as you experience the slightest attack on your ego, you react so strongly that you forget all the beautiful aspirations, forget your direction, your goal. You forget the purpose, the role of your guru. This kind of forgetfulness and ignorance, which is not bliss, often leads to behavior totally unsuitable to the situation of a spiritual aspirant. It belies, it belittles the sacred relationship between guru and disciple, between God, goddess, and soul. The first and second limbs of Patanjali's eightfold path of yoga outline certain observations and restrictions, disciplines and rules that promote cleansing of the personality, thus providing a basis for further growth. Discipline is absolutely vital. As I ask you to undergo any kind of discipline, it is because this is good for you. It will help your development. Yet you object. You may object most respectfully. Yes, Guruji, I will do this, but still there is something in you which revolts. You try to find a way around the situation. I may ask you not to watch television for some time, knowing that this will only distract you from other duties and activities. Yet, Guruji, it is all right to watch the news or a documentary, is it not? It is educational. When I instruct you not to eat for a day or two to cleanse your system and thoughts from impurities, what is the reply? But, Swamiji, I must eat something or I will be weak. I might faint. Are these the reflections of mature, striving souls? Is it asking too much to cut out television for a few or a few meals for the sake of higher spiritual growth? These are the most simple basic disciplines which you can think of for yourself. Until you have learned to transmute every aspect of life into positivity, you will have to rely on the guru's judgment. Yet the problem is again that you forget the purpose of my instructions. Do I teach and train you for my benefit? Nevertheless, discipline, and obedience from a sense of fear are equally useless. For where there is fear, love cannot coexist. True discipline can never be imposed on anyone or any body. It must spring from the heart. This is the true argument against torture, right here, everybody. It must spring from the heart, spontaneously. Some of you go to the other extreme and follow the instructions more to the letter than in the essence, especially when you may be feeling somewhat contrary. As a rule, you cannot follow general instructions so blindly
that as the situation alters fundamentally, you still go ahead with the instruction, possibly creating disaster. But Swamiji, you said so. The teachings of the prophets, the teachings of the saints are always clear, always positive. It is their followers who interpret thoughts according to their own state of mind. Consequently, the meaning becomes very different to that expounded by the masters. As Lord Buddha taught, he did not once mention Ishvara or God. He says it right there. Ishvara is female. Ishvara or God. Because at that time, atrocities, exploitations took place in the name of Ishvara. Now he says he taught, and I'll refer to this in the point from the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. That means into humanity. Man is genderless in the spiritual soul environment of man. Having a human experience where maleness is only present in the physical and femaleness in the physical in terms of the appearance on the screen of third dimension. Yet third dimension is linear, meaning adherent to time. Time is an illusion. Therefore, the appearance of being separate, male and female, is also an illusion. And so as this teaching now brings man to the ascent of man, we talk about it in terms of androgyny, genderless. So when we use the word he now, we are being genderless, where he is she and she is he, and they trade places in terms of role playing for the sake of another yuga to expound again and be creative again and have the opportunity to dance again, to sing and to play again, and to play it again, Sam, in terms of the idea that we can extrapolate from what we have danced in all dances, the one dance. That's the dance of Shiva. Dance of Shiva as the destroyer and the creator. In other words, lacking nothing of the original cause, which would be identified as Brahma, that is the creative energy, and then Shiva, the destructive energy, for goodness, meaning it's in all of nature, as we just discussed. The lily commits itself back to Mother Earth, Titala Kora, the diamond one, for the sake of the circle to repeat itself, for the sake of repetition being the mother of wisdom consistently in our lives. And the flowers come again. And the flowers come and they are continuing on with the bearing of the fruit of these understood teachings by living them rather than by observing them without living them. Living them means being a full witness. Observing them without doing the witnessing part, which is the active principle of loving the teaching into understanding by its process. Okay, so this is the next sentence. He, now we mean all of humanity, taught nirvana, represented in Ishvara, meaning the representation of all of humanity. Now, he taught nirvana, enlightenment, sublime truth. Yet as he had not used the word God, people misunderstood his teachings. 700 years after the Buddha's physical death, a congregation of Buddhist monks and scholars met and decided that since there was no mention of God, the Buddha did not accept the existence of God. By the decree of his own followers, the divine incarnation that thus became an atheist. There is a higher story of an example of how mindless interpretation, willfulness, impatience may combine into a formidable danger for the new seeker. The new disciple approached his guru and implored, "Master, please show me God." The guru replied, "My dear, God is something which must be experienced." Wait! Before he could finish, the impatient disciple interrupted, no, I cannot wait. Please give me something. Teach me something." The sage spoke softly and patiently, "All right, as you insist. I'll give you something. Remember, God is everywhere. In you, in me, in every creature. Do not forget this truth. Try to see God everywhere and try to love everybody." The disciple jumped to his feet. "Certainly, Guruji, I cannot wait to experiment with this." The disciple was going along the road when he noticed an elephant coming his way and approaching very fast. "Ah, this is a good time to implement my guru's instructions." He reflected this. "I am God, and the elephant is God. God need not be afraid of God." He remained in the road. Now, the mahout on top of the elephant started shouting, "Please, sir, get out of the road quickly. Make way for this elephant. He is mad, and I cannot control him." "Why should I?" the disciple retorted. "God need not be afraid of God." Well, the elephant could not be stopped, and the new disciple received a somewhat unusual message. He had to be admitted to the hospital with several broken bones. Guruji came to know about his disciple's plight and went to visit him. "How do you come to be in such a sorry state?" he inquired. "I follow it implicitly, and now look at me." "Well," the disciple, "all right. Tell me exactly what happened." "Well, as I was walking and the elephant came toward me, I remembered your teaching that God is in everything. Consequently, I was not intimidated by the elephant, who is God too. Yet, Guruji, he just trampled me." "Did something else happen?" "What else?" "Is that not enough?" "No, only the mahout yelled at me to get out of the road." "That's it," Guruji pointed out. "You see, the mahout is also God. You did not listen to the third God." Life will constantly present you with the opportunity to train your mind, to let it do some constructive work. As you use the tools of intellect and mind to reason mindfully, you can advance your own growth. So think, analyze, contemplate, and then act. As you become accustomed to this process of mindful reasoning, you also learn to recognize and direct the subtle workings of ego and emotion. Of course, mistakes can still occur, yet you learn from these, or at least you have the opportunity to do that. One commits mistakes to be above mistakes. Learn from your mistakes and become wise. To achieve the highest, to merge with the highest, you must become like the highest. Infinite intelligence, infinite wisdom. And I'm just saying myself here, pretend as you must. Pretend you use your imagination and pretend. And that's real. That's how reality comes about. Imagine peace. Imagine there is no heaven and no hell. To achieve the highest, to merge with the highest, you must become like the highest. Infinite intelligence, infinite wisdom. Yet how can you learn from a mistake you refuse to recognize? It seems very difficult for people to admit wrongs. Usually they try to find endless excuses to defend themselves. But Guruji, I thought. But Guruji, I presumed. This is something negative and destructive in everyone. What do you defend? This is only the ego in its worst manifestation. More than that, you try to blame someone or something else for your own shortcomings. I'm sorry, something just happened here. Just put that on mute, Commander. What? Something happened. I don't know. It just came on like that. Which means that the signal might have gone and you have to reprogram the signal. I don't know. Okay, so click on... Press stop. Press that middle button. Turn it back on and then press that button. That one. Let me show you. Press this button. No. Yeah, there. So everything should be okay, but put the sound down. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. Let's see. This is something negative and destructive in everyone. What do you defend? This is only the ego in its worst manifestation. More than that, you try to blame someone or something else for your own shortcomings. But Guruji, it wasn't my fault. Again, you forget that I know exactly whose fault it was. You may succeed in fooling yourself, yet do not try to fool your guru. Learn to be honest with yourself. Search and analyze your motives and your reactions. Learn to take responsibility for your actions. You may look upon responsibility as a privilege, forgetting that first and foremost, it is an obligation and a commitment. The love of the true guru goes out to all equally. There is no need to compete for this love. It is given freely and abundantly. How much you receive is equal to your faith. Remember what Barack Obama just did in his last Saturday talk. Or the Saturday before last. What did he do? He went before the people at a church, a Moorish congregation, and he said, I have confession to make that I have not always kept my cool. And I have been able to find that calm in faith. Here it is again. right here. How much you receive is equal to your faith and trust. The woman who touched the hem of the garment of Yeshua was healed because of her absolute faith in him. And I do want to say again, there was no person by that name that was mentioned this morning. Yet, Y-E-S-H-U, Pistis Sophia, has something to do with that ray of Sananda Kumara from Venus. That ray of energy has to do with the ray of love as we speak of it today. And that covers all of the 144,000. It covers all of the goodly company. And it also helps us to facilitate by our example love in action. So the woman who touched the hem of Yeshua's garment was healed because of her absolute faith in the love that he exemplified. Being a human, your perspective is limited. The human is unable to fathom the divine motive. Hence, one cannot possibly assume judgment over the guru's actions, let alone criticism or complaint. Try avoiding the dangers of rivalry and comparison by focus on the comparison with others rather than of tending your own garden, and by assuming censorship of your guru's decisions, you literally block the flow of love the guru sends. Ego prompting, foolish jealousies have no place in the life of one striving for eternal life. Until such thoughts and ideas have been removed from your mind completely, 100%, further growth will be effectively obstructed. That's why we say no buts, or get your butt out of your brain. Contemplate on the effect of even the strongest light on the color black. Does it not absorb, swallow the light completely? Likewise, negatives such as jealousy, anger, envy, bickering, etc., will swallow the energy and light the guru transmits. As ever, you are filled with light-absorbing negative emotion, thought, impulse. You resemble a bottomless pit. No matter how much energy and light the guru may pour in, it will never be filled. I ask you to consider, what is the sense in continuing such waste indefinitely? Though the Guru has infinite patience and mercy, the priceless gift of spiritual energy should not be wasted or abused. Light must be reflected to shine further. The Guru will always pay attention to those who are prepared to discipline themselves, who really want to grow. Do you want to be close? The closest will always be the ones with the highest qualities, the purest motives. So strive, purify, evolve constantly and incessantly. That's coming from the Guru, everybody. That's what it means to be incorrigible, everyone. For the good. Incorrigibility for the good. Incessantly, constantly evolve, purify, strive. The moment you perceive your goal, the moment you realize that you must do something, every instinct and aspect of yourself must transform with only one aim: to achieve that, with a capital T. As you think you will devote some time of your life to your upliftment, to the ultimate goal of reaching your source. Your half-hearted efforts will be in vain. To one who has never been accustomed to any kind of discipline, never attempted to control the appetites of the senses, discipline may appear as a most difficult thing. Yet there is another way which makes everything very easy, a sunlit, happy path, the path of bhakti, of love, of devotion, abhakti. Bhakti is the yoga of love, abhakti, the yoga of devotion, which is service to love. What the world needs, what love needs now, is more love. Here's how, everyone. And for the love of God, this is the requirement. For how can you discover the infinite while still grossly attached to the finite? In the 15th century, which is the 1400s, everyone, lived a great poet, a great saint, Kabir, K-A-B-I-R. Many people claimed they wanted to follow him. He had to find a way to separate the chaff from the wheat, discern the real seekers from the pretenders, thus upholding the masala, a blazing torch. He proclaimed that he would accept as disciples all those who were prepared to first burn their houses. It worked. Excuses and withdrawals abounded. However, before giving rise to further misunderstandings, Kabir did not entice anyone to literally commit arson. He asked them to give up their attachments to the material world. In many of his beautiful and heart-rending poems, Kabir reminds us, quote, "I tell you the ways of love. Even though the head must be given, why should you weep over it?" Jesus also admonishes that the pearl of great price can only be obtained by, quote, "selling all you have." It's 422 here, everybody. Very powerful number. Yeah, master path of the Yeshu prophet is 22, and the master prophet number of Islam, of the Moorish teachings, of Moorism, yes, M-U-U-R. As you want to follow the path of bhakti, pure devotion will transform your energy. God / guru becomes your beloved. You relate to him by faith and trust. You present yourself as you are, with all your imperfections. You tell him all your sins. Yet once you have said all that you are, once you have been accepted and graced by God, you are no longer a sinner, and there is no need to repeat the statement. You have told God, and God does not suffer from forgetfulness. The encounter between the old woman, I'll just say this on the side, that's why in the teaching of the guru, when you say, "I'm sorry," the guru will say at that God, Goddess, all that is level, do not be sorry. Do not do it. When we say, "I'm sorry, thank you, please forgive me, I love you," we're at one level practicing forgiveness. At the guru level, when the beloved becomes the guru, when you become one with your higher self, is what's being said, which is the divine feminine, where masculine and feminine gender merge androgynously in love. And love has no opposite, none. Love, ecstasy, bliss, infinite, ecstatic joy is the number 44, hummingbird medicine, of the 144 of the leader as the 44th president of the polity. The number 144 codes of light are being encoded every second by the fact that this being is a master adept that is actually doing that for us, yet we must take that energy and receive it. It's in giving that we receive. The encounter between the old woman Sabari and Lord Rama illustrates this relationship beautifully. When Sabari asks, quote, "Oh my Lord, how could you accept someone like me, an old and outcast woman? I, who am full of disease, rejected by society, ignorant and ugly. How could you accept me?" Lord Rama replies, quote, "You have taken my refuge. There is no difference between you and me. What I am, you are. And what you are, I am. Thus, once you have taken shelter at the feet of the highest, once your emotions are purified, you are no longer a sinner. As you truly realize who and what you are, you do not have to repeat every now and again, yet Guruji, but Guruji, you are so high and I am still sinner." It is sad that some religious denominations promote the repeated affirmations of such negative statements. As you repeat all your life that you are the sinner, will that lead you to enlightened bliss? Of course not. It will merely produce guilty consciousness. Why should you feel guilty? There's another book that's called I Feel Guilty When I Say No. And remember what Beth taught us about what Ra said, no, 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 because there had to be the presence of love. Otherwise, no, no, no. Very interesting. Where was I? Sorry. Okay, let's see. Of course not. It will merely produce guilty consciousness. Why should you feel guilty? You are not wicked, cruel, miserable. A great thought to annihilate guilt is, quote, "How can I be guilty when I am your devotee?" Rather think that you are happy, blissful, pure, good. Not only think so, contemplate, live, and identify with these qualities in every moment. Build them into your life that they may take root, grow, and bloom. As you merge into these particles of perfection, as you realize who and what you really are, you will no longer be what you used to be. There is a story which tells about such a transformation. It was a warm summer's evening. The people of the little Indian village had been busy all day preparing for the great event of the night. A pundit, a priest, famous for his brilliant and inspiring tales of deities and saints, had arrived to give a discourse at a wealthy man's home. and everybody was invited. Many people had gathered outside the home and now listened with rapt attention to various events taken from the life of Krishna. There was one man, not part of the general audience, who thought this evening the ideal moment to promote his trade. He was a thief. What better opportunity to rob the wealthy man's house than at this time, when everyone was busy listening to Panditji? Careful not to make any noise, he proceeded to make an opening in the side of the house. This was a slow and tedious job, and while thus engaged, he could not help overhearing the priest's talk. Just now, Panditji was giving an account of Lord Krishna's beauty and splendor, and how he would play heart-rending tunes on his flute, surrounded by cows and the adoring cowherds and milkmaids. The thief, who had no idea who and what Krishna represented, was not much impressed. However, when he heard all about the beautiful ornaments, the precious jewels which adorned Krishna, he suddenly had an idea. What am I doing here? Robbing a few things from each house, he thought. As I were to rob this Krishna, all my problems would be over. I would not have to rob every now and then. Yet how to find him? The discourse had come to an end, and everybody had gone home. Panditji, too, was on his way home. Suddenly, out of the dark, the thief jumped right into Panditji's path. The priest was terrified. "Don't kill me, please," he pleaded. "Take whatever you want. Don't kill me." "Panditji, I don't want to kill you," said the thief. "All I want is the address of this Krishna that you have been talking about. You give me the address, and I shall leave you in peace." The priest could not believe his ears. Could anyone really be such a fool as to take such stories seriously? However, he concluded that there was no point in arguing with the madman. In order to appease the robber, he told him that although he did not have the precise address, he would surely find him in Vrindavan. The robber set out for Vrindavan, where several thousand years ago Krishna had dwelt. That's Vrindavan, everyone. There was nothing in his mind but the treasure, soon to be his. So absorbed did he become in the meditation on gold and jewels that he wandered here and there and completely lost his way. Yet, visualizing all ornaments on Krishna, how could he avoid visualizing his face? Also his eyes, his mouth, his hair. That complete concentration brought him into such attunement with the vibration of Krishna that he was not aware of anything else any longer. He became totally absorbed in the high energy emanated by Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. In the fire of this energy, all his sins burnt away. Body, mind, and soul became so purified that he began to see, in quotes. He saw the forest, the river, the tulsi trees. He began to see Vrindavan. Finally, when he heard the distant ring of cowbells and high above the jubilant thrill of a flute, he knew that Krishna was approaching. Hidden in the branches of a large tree, his excitement became paramount as he finally discerned Krishna in a group of people and cows. Recognizing his clothes, hair, and jewels, oh, those jewels, the flute lightly to his lips, the thief could barely contain himself until, alighting from the branch, he jumped in front of Krishna and informed him of his intention to rob him. Krishna tried to dissuade him. "No, you cannot do that. You cannot rob me. These jewels are not mine. They belong to my mother. What will I tell her as you take everything away?" Krishna, of course, was referring to Mother Nature, to whom all worldly goods belong. Nonetheless, although by now a pure being, the robber was still attached to what he had come for. He insisted on his spoils, and in trying to snatch them, there was a current, a flash. His mind and body were suddenly flooded with infinite light. Ultimate understanding filled him. He stepped back in awe. "No, Lord, I want nothing. I want nothing but to carry this moment in my heart." Yet now Krishna informed him that since the treasure had been his motive, since this was what he had come for, he must now take it. There was no way out. At the moment of enlightenment, Mother Nature had become the robber's servant, ready to grant him everything. Yet knowing that now he had everything, he wanted nothing. Reluctantly, he took gold and jewels, Krishna helping him to put on the heavy crown, and he went on his way to carry his burden to Bandichi's house. As the priest opened the door, he was shocked. He could not understand when the treasure of Krishna was laid before him as his own. He did not have the slightest idea that anyone could actually meet this being with a capital B. Quote, "Where did you get this? What did you do? How could you ever?" His questions as to where and how the thief had found Krishna were endless. With shining eyes, the former thief replied, "Panditaji, how can I explain to you? I see him all around me. I found him in everything. I found him in my heart." Poor Panditji, no matter how hard he tried, he just could not see. I just want to tell you, everybody, Krishna is androgynous. He is genderless. And he's not in the third dimension, although he can appear there. He is everywhere and nowhere at all. And he's androgynous, which means that his gender is one with the feminine, one with Mother Nature. That's what transformed this. No more separation. Poor Panditaji, no matter how hard he tried, he just could not see. This story provides just one example of the transforming and purifying effect of divine grace, which is swan, everybody, swan energy, divine grace. The robber's motives had been anything but pure. He had determined to commit a crime. He was also an ignorant man. Before Panditji's lecture, he had never even heard of Krishna. Consequently, he was quite unaware that he was dealing with divinity. Almost by accident, he concentrated on one aspect of the divine. Yet he became absolved from all sins, a completely transformed being, divinity itself. I would ask you to consider now how much more can be achieved by conscious, all-absorbing concentration on all aspects of the ultimate, rather than its physical manifestations alone. Sometimes it may appear that the devotee's often intense love is centered more on the finite physical forms of the spiritual perceptor than on ultimate truth, with a capital U and a small t. Attracted by the high radiation of pure love and compassion which the guru emits, the form is taken for the essence. This is a very common mistake for the human being. The same mistake, attachment to the physical form, is responsible for many religious misconceptions and aberrations. As people could only learn to look at all religions with an open mind, they would soon realize that essence, truth, never changes. Each religion originates from a higher state of consciousness. Those that follow, however, being more limited, devalue what was once whole and pure. The human mind alone produces the differences. There is no thing wrong with loving the physical form of your God or Guru, be that Krishna, Jesus the Christ, Rama, Buddha, Muhammad, or a living master. Remember, though that the purpose of God's descent into human form is to communicate with you, to help you understand and to experience the truth, do not become so attached to that form that you obstruct your own personal growth. By remembering in one thought, you will bar yourself from the reality of truth, which encompasses all. By remaining in one thought, you will bar yourself from the reality of truth, which encompasses all. Constant reminiscences and projected fantasies will cloud and distort your outlook and keep your consciousness tied down. True devotion and service, on the other hand, will help you outgrow the boundaries of limited love. As by loving another human being, you can become a better and kinder person. Think what contact with the redeeming and transforming energy of God, of cosmic love, can accomplish. When with childlike love and trust, you follow your master's teaching, faithfully acknowledging him in every respect of your life, no situation you may encounter will present a problem to you. No task will be unpleasant or impossible. You may not understand the reason behind some instructions, yet as you can maintain the attitude, quote, I really do not understand, yet, Guruji, you know what is best, then you will have discovered the way of Mira and Prahlad. That's capital M-I-R-A and capital P-R-A-H-L-A-D, Lad, Prahlad, Lot. Two of the greatest lovers of God. You will have found the way to lead you out of the confines of mind, ego, and emotion. You will have discovered the way of bhakti by loving the real master with all your heart. He will teach you how to love God. Verily, there is no doubt. Real faith does not live in words alone. It lives in actions, the actions of everyday life. Every act that you perform, every walking, talking, eating, relating to others act that you perform can become a reflection of faith and devotion. True faith is unwavering. It does not permit disillusionment. As people say, quote, we have faith in God. Where is their faith? As the development of circumstances leads them into worry, fear, disappointment, and doubt. I mentioned earlier that love and fear cannot coexist. The same applies to love and doubt. The fire-like love and devotion Kabir speaks of may not be acquired immediately. Yet as you have faith and trust in God / Guru, you will serenely await his pleasure in all matters. You do not ask him to do as you would like, yet you surrender your individual wishes and desires to his infinite wisdom. Quote, thy will be done. You lay the burden of your ego at his feet. Your cares are his. That is bhakti, the winged path. On the wings of love you soar to the beloved. Arati, A-R-A-T-I, is the ritual of the evening offering when the lamps are lit. You repeat the prayer of offering and surrender. Yet do you mean it? When you do arati to God or to your guru, you appeal to him as remover of pain and sorrow. You take refuge. Sharan gahun kiski, to whose feet I cling. You offer yourself totally and entirely to the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, indweller of your heart. Tum antariyami. Contemplate on this the next time you feel tempted to say, but, Guruji, I pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Tara. Very beautiful.
Oh, I am overwhelmed.
It's a fantastic gift for you to share that with us.
Well, thank you for showing up, everyone, and I guess Swami Purna decided to show up for all of us, and I am honored to be the one to be the gift bearer. Thank you, Lady Master Beth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Rama, did you want to call on? Let's let Beth determine, but is Julie still on line one?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go to Julie? Beth?
I guess she dropped off.
Okay. Now, Beth, there's about 7 minutes, according to the clock, yet I want to ask Comrade Don, can we extend our time or what? What's on the agenda? Because that took a while. And thank you for letting me do it anyway. Oh, okay, so there is a time, actually a minute. So how much time did you need to do that Metatron, or is it too far gone now?
I think it would take too long, and that's okay, because I think what you did was more significant, and it's fine. We have plenty of time to go over the Metatron stuff another time. This might be a good time to wrap up.
Okay.
Maria is inviting me very kindly. Maybe I can do Metatron on Thursday. I would love to do that.
Thank you, Marita Robert. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Marie. Rama, do you have anything to say before we close out?
I'm just sort of in awe of, you know, Swamiji's mastery of the situation here.
I agree.
Yeah. That's just a slow circle of going round and seeing oneself in the same place. And there is only one circle, and we are in that circle looking at each other, and ain't no way around it. Gotta go in through the door. And as Dr. Cornell West would put it, we're all in this together.
Whenever Mark and I would do another message, we would always say, you have to ask and you have to allow. And anytime my life is seeming to slip into boredom, then I always ask for something new. And then when it arrives, I'm always stunned. Oh, my. Okay. And it goes to a higher level every time, and it's a lot of fun.
It is, everybody.
I would recommend, instead of, it's great to tune into the good news, like Laura Flanders, Tom Hartman, Bill Moyer, and all the ones we speak about. But maybe instead of reading the rotten news, that's not true anyways, maybe go inside and ask for a new adventure and see what happens. I challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
Enough emails about why. We know why, because we're healing it with love.
It's heaven on earth happening right now. This is, they're standing on their heads telling us this, and we're still, you know, kind of like the colonel who in Avatar only sees his mission, and the unobtained idea that, you know, the idea, unobtainium.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can't obtain it because you already got it.
Tag, you're it.
If anyone out there is not having enough fun, this is what you do. Present yourself to Mother Sekhmet and say, please, Mother, can you show me a new way of having fun? And then see what happens to your life. You'll be laughing so hard. Right, Rama?
Yes. And I got to talk to Brad Steiger quite a few years ago. It might have been in the early 90s. And he told me the first time I met Mother Sekhmet, I met her face I was face down in the sand, and she was standing above me with a double-bladed axe. The axe came down. I luckily moved in time. And she said, next time, you will think twice. And that was Brad Steiger.
It's a little bit about the elephant story, isn't it?
Yeah. And
oh,
it's
my.
Not to scare anyone. It's a wake-up call.
And do not pull mother's tail.
Unless you want your own tail pulled.
T-A-L-E.
Well, I think it's time to say goodnight.
I think, hey, Rama, do we have...
Hold on, true.
Do we have a moment to play a piece of music? Do you want to play that voice music again? That is so beautiful every time. Is it enough time to play a piece of music as we go?
Good night, all.
Oh, yes, we have time. But then we're going to get cut off.
We have 3 minutes.
We have 3 minutes. Okay, let's do 3 minutes of it. Everybody, are you ready?
Good night, all.
Thank you both so much.
See you next time.
Go ahead, Rita.
Good night, all. See you the next time, and blessings on your day.
Marita, thank you so much for being here today, and Tara and Rama, thank you.
Thank you.
It's a joy.
It is.
How you doing, Rama?
I'm getting right here.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
He always on the wind. Be not afraid, come follow me. Answer my calling, I'll let you know.